Tonight, we'll preview the world premiere of Where Did She Sit on the Bus? Then later, our friends from Zany's bring the drinks as James Vickery rides sidecar. And finally, we get a brand new bedtime lullaby from the Cupid Players. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. Thank you so much. Man, it is a wet, chilly evening tonight. Hopefully we can keep you warm and toasty. Or maybe you want to be chilly and you like wrapping the blankets around you. Just find your own way to stay warm. I'm in a good mood tonight, Craig. I had some good food, and then I got here tonight, and I got a lovely note, a lovely thank you note in my mailbox.
What'd you have to eat?
I went to a lovely restaurant in Highwood that I can't remember the name
of. Oh, nice.
It was a lot of Italian. I ate too much.
A lot of Italian food?
Yes.
I love Italian food.
Very, very good Italian food.
And if you get a lot of it, that's authentic. That's
I think
good.
It actually expands after consumption.
You got to raise one of your arms and then actually jiggle, and that helps move the food.
I don't know what you're saying to me, but
the jiggling
sounds...
part, I understood the jiggling part in public might not be okay. No, you got to raise the arm first, as Esmeralda is doing.
Can I not face you while I do the jiggling?
Yeah, you can do that away from me.
Do you jiggle just the arm?
No, you want predominantly the stomach to be moving. So here, I'm going to stand up.
This ridiculous thing.
But then, so you just jiggle your stomach?
My friend's grandfather told me that if you want to consume more food after a day of eating a lot of food, you need to raise one arm and then jiggle and then raise the other arm.
Oh.
And then jiggle.
Oh, that's to consume more.
Well, or probably just to move it around if you're feeling uncomfortable.
I was going to say, I'm feeling the belt.
Yeah, I think it would work for both.
This belt.
Yeah, but what are you, I mean, if you just move it around, what are you just reorganizing the living room? What are you?
No, so, yeah, exactly. So you're just, you know, feng shuiing everything.
I don't think it matters. I mean, the food's in there.
Yeah.
But maybe it's caught somewhere. I don't know. I mean,
I'm
going to
try yoga. What if I do yoga? Will that?
Yeah,
that
upward sounds... facing dog.
Upward facing.
Although I guess, you know, if there is.
WGNRadio.com for upward facing.
That is my new favorite thing to do on the radio. Just tell Patty to do a yoga move during the show.
If it is very drafty in your stomach of a living room.
Yeah, right?
Then maybe this would help.
Okay.
Open a window.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think you're opening a window in your stomach by moving stuff around because it's all clogged and you want to crack that window.
James Vickery, right? Are you buying any of this for
No, this is the most made-up thing I've ever heard in my life.
Raise your arm and jiggle.
Okay, so the guy who told me this may have been drinking, but, you know.
That's always encouraged in conversations about food. Here's the other reason I'm in a good mood. Last night, if you go to our Facebook page, Patty V Show, or Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, you can find that on Facebook, there was a really crude note left for me last night posted by a listener who wished death upon me and called me other names. I'm not laughing about that. It was a little surprising. It's a little shocking. Apparently someone who doesn't know the functions of the buttons on his radio to be that angry. And we've been talking a lot about, you know, why are you taking things so personally? When I hear someone attack people that I admire, I go, oh, that's really a shame that you don't like that person. I don't ever
think.
You
don't lash out.
I don't go, I hope you crawl into a hole and die. Was what he actually, I don't, what hole am I supposed to crawl into?
Yeah, okay. You are quoting, by the way.
Yes, I am quoting.
Yep, direct.
Can't use the other word. It's not appropriate.
Nope. We get fined.
No. there's a lot of other things you can call me besides the C word, but apparently that came to mind first. But we received a thank you note today, Craig, and it says, Ms. Vasquez, thank you for entertaining us. I've loved radio for 50 years. Your show is a bright, shiny sun in a dark night. Sincerest, Andrew. So I want to thank you, Andrew, Alabama. That was very nice.
Andrew in Alabama.
Yes. Very nice. Thank you. So that reminds everybody that they can hear us anywhere, not just on WGN Radio.
Yeah, we're in Alabama.
We are definitely in Alabama.
Pop us on.
What?
Please, Papa's on? Papa's?
What?
Papa's on?
Is this the one-armed guy thing?
Just go ahead in Alabama and Papa's on.
We have a new guest in the green room who's probably listening to the show going, what is this show even about?
What are you talking
about?
No, that's just one word when you're on the radio. Papa's on.
Oh, pop us on.
Papa's on.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not really
you Papa's on.
It sounds like a new catchphrase.
We're doing a new catchphrase on Patty Show.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Craig, your wife is from Mexico.
She is.
And you've probably experienced firsthand the kind of sort of intolerance that she has faced and some of the attitudes, the misconceptions and preconceptions with your wife. So I'm really excited when we have our guests in studio. We can
Me
talk
too.
A little bit about that, too.
And I've been to Mexico.
Have you really?
So, yeah.
Excellent. What part of Mexico have you been to?
Playa del Carmen, All right. Right outside.
You've actually been to the
beach.
Oh,
very authentic Mexico. Yeah. You've been to definitely.
The all-inclusive resorts.
I can relate. Yeah.
The heart of the country.
The kind where they just like shuttle you from the airport and you never leave the resort. That one.
I always venture out though.
Did you speak any Spanish while you were there? Did you have to speak any?
That was good, right?
Yo quiero
Taco Bell.
Comida.
I always, Kristen, my wife and I, we will practice Spanish. We both
with
took
each
a
other
lot
because
of years.
That's not gonna, that seems like a vicious circle.
Oh yeah, it doesn't work out well. But when we travel, so we can understand a little bit and we'll try. But our move is like if we're with a cab driver and we start speaking Spanish, they'll think, oh, they speak Spanish. And then they'll go into really speaking it.
And then you panic. You're like,
And we just go quiet. Instead of saying, I don't understand.
You're like, I'm all out.
You just look out the window.
Yeah. We actually talked about this, I believe, last week, Craig, about, you know, we often talk about race in this country. We talk about black and white. And I've always been sort of hesitant to jump into the fray, into the conversation, because I don't even look Latina. What does that mean for you? Hey, what about us? And, you know, we're actually in the sense. Counted as white. It'll say like white, non-Hispanic, white, Hispanic. So I'm excited to hear about this this new show that's called Where Did We Sit on the Bus, which is written and performed by Brian Quijada. He is in our green room. And I think that does this resonate with you, Esmeralda, when you think about where do we fit in socially when people are talking about race in this country?
Oh, for sure. I always put other.
Other? Me too. I'll write in the margins.
Yeah, because usually you can't pick more than one, and I'm more than one.
Me too.
I'm a mix.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's always weird.
I write in the margins of my census, of the questionnaire, but like very elaborate messages about, well, I'm both
right.
Latino and I'm also white, Caucasian,
that
guess.
Makes sense.
I know, it's very, but we never even talked about this case in California, Craig, where this family had to give up a child they've been fostering in their home because they happened to be a fraction in Native American, and the child had been removed from their home to go live in Utah with people who are not even Native American.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, you're not really Latina, you don't count. I don't know what counts anymore.
Right.
Can I now point to this child who's been removed from their home because they're 1/26th
right.
Native American?
That apparently counted. So
right.
Yeah.
No.
I don't understand any of this.
I definitely look Caucasian. I can't.
Me too. I don't have any issue.
Well, we've been talking Caucasian. About this at home because I went. Oh, I met when I met Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
I was just a blustering idiot. I was like, thank you so much what you've done for our people and my family. And this is my son Griffin, and he's Mexican even though he doesn't look like it.
Anyway. I know the kid in the Flash costume. That's him. Yeah.
That's him. And while I was wearing the Trinity latex.
That's right.
Duster, which by the way, thank you Chicago Costume. I'll return it tomorrow. More after this on 720 WGN. My husband can't get enough of it.
One man, one mic. Me and my audience. Listen up close. I promise that nobody will yawn through this. I need to open my eyes and look around. Get my gaze off the ground and put my phone down. I'm frightened. My body tightens.
Are you asking me to put my phone down, Brian Quijada? Are you asking me to put my phone down? I can't put my phone down. I gotta pay attention to you and your show.
Well, that's true. Well, you gotta put it down for a second.
For a second? Just for a moment?
Just for a little bit of life.
A little bit of life? Brian Quijada. Am I saying your last name?
That's right. Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure for me. Is there more of an act? Is there more? Quijada.
Quijada, that's right.
Quijada. Go ahead. Say it. James Vickery, you can do it.
Brian.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No pressure. Wow. Say however. Say
you
however
reacted
you want.
Like such a white guy.
No.
Brian, oh, God.
I was still thinking about how that track was popping. You were right.
It's a track and pop.
Is that a Q at the beginning?
Oh, it's a Q. Not a K, not spelled with an H, but a J.
I went into a panic attack.
Yeah, you did.
Because here's what Brian has encountered his entire life. Quijada.
Oh, Quijada. Al-Qaeda once. Al-Qaeda.
No!
I swear to God.
That's a stretch.
I've gotten Patty Sanchez before.
Have you?
People don't
even read. People just don't even, like, they're just like, oh, I'm nervous, and I'm just going to say the first thing that comes to
it. Can I talk to Brian Ouija Board?
That sounds about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Brian Ouija Board. That's a first, huh?
That is. And Esmeralda, she lets me get by and everybody get by with saying Leon. And that's fine. And I appreciate that because she gets tired of us going Leon. Leon. Mm-hmm. I said De Leon the first time I worked with her. And she's like, there's no D.
There's no D. Yeah. It starts with an L.
Esmeralda. She's in that monitor top.
What's
right.
going on, Esmeralda?
Hello.
Hi.
Have you said your name to someone just like we did to Brian? I mean, to whatever your name is. James. Yeah. It's the white guy.
Well, you know what you have to do.
Brian, and
so
Esmeralda.
Dismissed. I know.
Has the white guy ever said stuff to you before this guy over here?
I know our peak is over, but jeez.
I'm so sorry, James. One of my best friends in the world. I'm like, you over here with the face.
I love it.
You with the glasses.
You with the glasses. I tricked you. You didn't realize that was going to come, but
I didn't.
But I there are names where people will say them to my face, and I can't repeat them back.
Oh, absolutely, it happens to me all the time.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it's no. I mean, it's, you know, it's just different cultures, different origins and names. You can't know all of them. I mean.
And you sound very patient, but this play, this story has to have come from a place of rage, of where do we belong, and that's a lot
absolutely.
Of passion.
Yeah. It's a lot of confusion. It's a lot of just not knowing what's going on.
And so this is called Where Did We Sit on the Bus, which is written and performed by Brian.
That's right.
And directed by Che Yu. This is running through April 10th at the Storefront Theater. So that's, you said it's right down here.
It's right down the street. It's on Randolph between Michigan and Wabash.
66 East Randolph, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
And there's a lot of regular performances. And you also can go to the website and find out more information, which is teatrovista.org for all the ticket information. So you were learning about civil rights and you wanted to know, hey.
So the inspiration for the play came from a piece that I wrote about a certain experience I had in the third grade where, I mean, I grew up in Highland Park. I don't know if you guys know where that is. That's like right along the lake.
We're
familiar.
It's
like 45 minutes north of here, Jewish town. I was one of the few Latin kids in class. And I remember, it's the only thing I remember from the third grade other than like my timetables, it seems like. But I raised my hand during the civil rights lesson. You know, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks came along and I said, where did we sit on the bus? And the teacher said, who?
Wait,
Latinos.
Who?
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, they weren't around.
No.
Yeah. And then she kept going on with her lesson because, she had to cover the civil rights movement in like a few hours.
They weren't around.
And
in the 60s?
In the 50s?
So they were just
in
like,
the
they weren't
evers?
Around. And now, she could have gone in. I feel like either she didn't know the answer or like she could have been like, hey, you know what? Like they weren't like they there wasn't a big popular or they haven't done studies or let me do some research and let me get back to you.
Yeah, that's what we're covering. Exactly.
Right. So she didn't even pull me aside afterwards. Now, I don't, you know, I respect the teacher.
What's her name? Let me write this down. Because we are always about being discreet, not using real names.
I have no idea her first name.
I'm writing it down. Go ahead. What's her name?
Her name is Ms. Winner. That's it. I don't know her first name.
I don't need it.
I feel like I should maybe like try to track her down. But
she sounds like the devil.
She's a sweetheart. Wow. She was a sweetheart. She just didn't know the answer. Anyway, when I went home, right after that, I was 8 years old and so terrified of, I was like,
why were we on the bus?
I went to my parents and I'm like, where did we come from? And what's our origin? What does our family name mean? Blah, 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 blah.
What does it mean?
Quijada means jaw. Jaw. Like jaw. Like
Quijada.
Jaw.
Quijada.
Yeah.
Now you know another word.
That's right. There you go. Quijada. That's the Americanized way to say, by the way. That's the more comfortable way. Quijada.
God, I really tried.
What did I say?
Quijada. No, quijada is the way we all say it, right? But you could say quijada, which is the more like, you know.
Aggressive.
Yeah, very
masculine.
Aggressive. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But it means jaw.
Oh, did you know that, Esmeralda? She's like, I'm just trying to have a sip of water up here. I don't know.
No, I don't even know what this is. There's just certain words I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know a lot.
When am
you
I
know
saying
what?
Jaw?
There's multiple words for jaw. There's like mandibula, but quijada is another word.
And did you grow up speaking Spanish?
Yeah.
So when you asked them, where do we come from? What was it? This sounds like something that you have worked on since you were in third grade from that moment.
I mean, what did they say? My parents didn't really like talking about. I mean, they are now documented, but they came in very illegally.
Gotcha.
That's the way we could say it, undocumented. But
very, not just a
very
little bit illegally. So illegally. I'm trying to imagine more.
I know,
illegal.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know what were they doing when they were coming over. Is that how it was extra illegal?
They were driving and drinking.
Wow. Like, let's add to this just a touch.
That is super illegal.
So illegal.
Oh my lord.
Wow.
My parents don't like to talk about it, but, you know, growing up trying to continually get more information out of them, that's like the kind of the whole concept of this show, which is it's a tough show to explain because it's done in a way that it's live looped. Do you guys know? You guys know what that is, right? Live
we actually looped? We actually had a performer from Highland Park.
We did it live in the studio.
Didn't we have
live looped in the studio?
Little Sam from Bitter Jester's Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, I don't remember his last name.
I don't know what it means.
You know, oh, sorry. Can you
live loop? It's like a, you know, usually it's like this machine that you layer sound elements, you layer tracks. Mm-hmm. So let's just say that I drop a beatbox. I don't have a machine, okay. But I drop
Get a machine.
Then that records, right, and that keeps going.
That was me,
and
by
you,
the
and
way.
You stop it. Yeah. And you stop it for as long as you go, and then you add another element, like da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na, da-na, and together it sounds like, now, right? And then you keep adding stuff. And anyway, so the entire show is live loop. I create the entire soundtrack to the show live on stage. And then I do hip hop versus about my life and dance. And
man, I have to see this. Is there a Sunday show?
Yes, there is. Not Easter Sunday.
Right. Okay.
You got to skip that way. His beatboxing skills are pretty impressive. We should probably have him do a bump song coming back from our next break.
I think we'll have more with Brian Quijada, who is starring and he's performing and has written Where Did We Sit on the Bus? It's at the Storefront Theater, which is at 66 East Randolph. More with our guest. Also James Vickery's here. He's at the Zanies in Rosemont, and more with our wonderful, fun guests when we come back. 720 WGN.
I'm a strong believer that we are all born with rhythm. Those who think they can't dance do have it somewhere deep within them, waiting to be released and displayed on the floor. My legs were unleashed and ready to soar at the ripe age of 9. You see, I went with my parents to every quinceañera, parties for my cousin's baptisms, first communions, what I call the religious passage era. Some invites said, no children, please. My parents always ignored it, not because of rebellion, but because they simply couldn't afford it. So the DJ became my babysitter, spinning records until dawn. He was never a quitter. Hasta la quince! Aplauso!
I'm there's so many things that hits on for me that's close to home.
And I want to give him applause.
I know, yes.
Great. Right,
oh, right, thank you.
It mainly hits on the fact that I wish I were more talented.
I know, it's really, oh, Lord. Okay, that's the unspoken one. That's the one that we keep deep inside.
Internalize.
Yeah, that's when we wait for the bartender from Zany's to come around. And we go, I'm just going to soothe that with a little bit of this. Okay, well, there's so many things. Well, one, you're saying that everyone has rhythm.
Uh-huh.
And they say, I can't.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
No. Everybody. I believe
no,
it.
No.
All of us.
Yes.
You just got to shake what your mama gave you.
Okay.
With gas,
yeah, you? I can shake.
You
that.
Can shake it.
Sure,
you can shake it.
I want to learn how to shake it.
Oh, you can. It's in you. It's within all of us.
Do what kind of music should we play for Craig and?
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna have the white guys shake it.
The white guys shake it.
Are we live?
I'll
streaming?
Even shake it.
We are.
We are live streaming.
We are live streaming.
WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, Brian. What would we learn to
what's
start
the best?
The dancing.
You know, salsa is pretty simple. I mean, I feel like it can. There's multiple levels of dancing the salsa, mm-hmm. And it's just one step, two step.
Can I tell you my current talent level?
Yeah.
I go onto the dance floor and the girl dances and I stand.
They dance around
you. Yeah.
Do you move any, like your hips or your shoulders?
I hear the music and I sort of sway to it.
Oh, well, you just got to, it's just the confidence boost. That's all
you're
you
ahead
need.
Of me. I stand by the bar and watch everyone.
Nice. Yeah, I'm forced to go out sometimes by my wife onto the floor.
Do you worry about what you're supposed to do with your hands? Is that part of it too?
Actually, the biggest thing that changes is my white man overbite comes out and then it goes away.
Because you're thinking about the rhythm?
Yep. So I put it out and then I take it out.
Oh, that's a good move though. That's sex appeal. That's sex appeal.
Yeah, exactly. My wife tells me that all the time.
Sexy. Does she say, do the white man bite?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm
his wife is from Mexico, by the way.
My wife is from Mexico.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, from Playa del Carmen. I was listening to that.
No,
that was me. I visited.
Vacation. Oh. The all-inclusive resort.
My wife is from San Luis Potosí.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's a great place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my mom's from Coahuila.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, from northern Mexico, from Villa Cunha.
And where's your father from?
He was second generation Irish.
Oh.
Right?
So happy belated St. Paddy's Day.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I go all the way through to Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, I'm taking Cinco de Mayo off. I just decided that. I don't know why.
I'll do it too.
All right,
sounds
then.
Cool.
Boom, done.
Should we send this to somebody?
Do we have to request days off? Where's Patty? At Cinco de Mayo.
Patty and Craig are taking that day off official
she's
now.
She's passed out near the river.
Let's have our callers call in and tell our bosses we're taking the day off.
Yeah, could you everyone just call Todd
Please.
Manley and Stephanie Menendez?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Where's your family from?
They're from El Salvador.
El Salvador.
Yeah.
And so that's another cultural sort of trip.
Pupusas. You guys ever heard pupusas?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I thought he called me something.
No. I had it recently in LA, actually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big Salvadoran population there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're delicious. They're like stuffed tortillas.
I was going to say, it sounds like a pouch.
With sometimes they have cheese, beans,
people
pork.
Think I use my hands a lot, but this guy, I love you.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of your hands.
Yes. So papusas.
They're delicious. You got to try them. You got to try them.
You really do.
I don't have. Is there any place that's open?
When you're
right
in
now?
LA, we'll go to.
All right. Yep. Excellent.
Yeah, when you're in LA. Mm-hmm.
And when you come out and visit us as well.
There you go. There's great papusa places here in Chicago.
I will find them.
You got to.
I think we're having Cuban food this week as well, aren't we? We have a friend of the
tomorrow
show.
Tonight?
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's not tonight. It's tomorrow. That's come back.
That's all right.
Come back after your show. We'll do a wrap party after your show.
Done.
All right, then. And we have Yeni Alvarez, who is from, she was born in Cuba.
Oh, yeah?
And we had her on the show. She was 9 years old when they fled.
Wow.
Which, again, I was going to say, there's this whole, people don't understand necessarily the different layers and the interrelationship between the Latino community. Mm-hmm. And that there is a little bit of strife. Puerto Ricans and Mexicans Chile, you know, everybody's kind of like, we all want our own until you say that the Mexicans are sending all of their rapists.
And then we all come together. We like unite. We unite.
Yeah, that was impressive last year. It was wonderful for bad reasons. Mm-hmm. Yes. So your show, Where Did We Sit on the Bus, is playing at the Storefront at 66 East Randolph, and you're getting really rave reviews. Heidi Weiss, I think that Dean Richards was about to move on. He's our Sunday morning host. Mm-hmm. He was going to move on to another topic, and she said, hold on a second, I have another show I want to tell you about. Like, it was one of those moments.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to meet her and just shake her hand and tell her, like, thank you, because that review was so nice. And you know what? Yeah. I don't usually like to read reviews, but I woke up the next, on Friday, which is when the review came out. It was the day after opening, and I was a little, you know, I was feeling the night before, and I got all these texts being like, I don't know if you read reviews, but you should read this one.
Dazzling, heart-piercing.
Wow.
This is amazing. An explosion of energy, comic verve, playful sexiness.
Ooh. Playful sexiness.
Man.
That is what?
Just making me feel worse and worse.
James, you want to know what my review from Heidi Weiss was? I was the opening act for The Puppetry of the Penis about 10 years ago. And Heidi Weiss said, "Then to start things off," she did not like the entire show. And then she said that Patty Vasquez was pert and there were three P words. Oh, no. I know it was loud and predictable.
Really?
Oh, pert and polished if loud and predictable.
Oh.
If loud and predictable. That's the review I got. So, yes, Heidi ain't playing.
She does not play.
She does not play.
She said there was a lot of great things in that review, which, you know, I feel so super appreciated. Like, that's amazing that she dug in.
She really liked it.
But she said that it needed to be a required viewing for Congress. And that's like, wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Which means what?
Let's go to Congress. Let's go.
I would love to see you like up on the where the president of the Senate sits. You know, like where they're like right in front of everybody. They're
and
all,
I'm sitting with my bull's head.
Yeah, you have the gavel. Heidi Weiss also says that the identity, immigration, assimilation, parent-child relation. It sounds like she wanted to beatbox a little bit when she was writing this.
I think she wanted to.
I think she really.
She was feeling the grooves.
Yeah, this is a great review, and it's not the only one. And my cell phone was blowing up on Friday of like telling all the Latino performers in Chicago, you have to go see this. I do one person shows, but I don't play like this. Is this a ukulele?
I'm playing a ukulele. I play ukulele, harmonica, too. Keyboard. I play the finger drums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know the finger drums.
The finger drums.
Sounds dirty.
Okay. Well, let's not get, it's late, but it's not past midnight yet. I don't know what kind of rhythm we're talking about.
That's
now.
The one instrument I play.
Oh, man.
You play it well or just a little bit?
Not well.
And Carrie Reed says that it compares it to John Leguizamo's.
Yeah, I understand the comparison to John Leguizamo. We're both Latin performers, but he's a hero of mine. He's like a huge influence. So to be compared,
it means that you're taking risks, because I think a lot of us do a one person show and maybe do it as a monologue or, you know, as a mm-hmm, storytelling. Mm-hmm. But you seem to really involve yourself in all different aspects, whether it's music and dance. Mm-hmm. You're taking it to a different level.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, bringing it up. Yeah. Bringing it up.
And do you do other characters? Are you sort of bringing them to life?
The big main characters that I play are my parents. Yeah. You know, my mom is a very sassy. You know, very.
I like, what's he doing with his shoulder?
No, she's just got that.
That's the playful sexiness. I'm sorry, I was saying that about your mom.
Yeah, she's very opinionated. She's very loud, and you know, she's the talker of the family. Well, she's not Jaw, you know, so she's very much embraced that name. Mm. My father is more like the reserved, kind of strong, head of household, very.
stern
deep voiced.
He's got a lot of responsibility. It's
absolutely,
all on him.
Absolutely.
The weight of the world.
Absolutely.
Does your mom, does she let people know her opinions wherever she's going? Is it either directly
so much
or
it's
indirectly?
Embarrassing. So much it's embarrassing. Which is good. She's, you know, she speaks her mind, and mm-hmm. that's
she's very proud. It's right.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes she can be just a little. It's just on the side of like you're being a little too opinionated, Mom. Like just you might offend somebody. You know.
And does she care about offending anyone?
I mean, I don't think she knows. She just doesn't know.
No.
She just doesn't know. That's okay. She's a sweetheart. Yeah. And she makes delightful pupusas.
Really?
Oh
man, well, I've never had a homemade one.
A pupusa? Oh, homemade ones?
Yeah.
No, they're good.
All right, then. We are talking to Brian Quijada, who is the star and he's a performer and writer of Where Did We Sit on the Bus, which is at the it's a production of Teatro Vista, by the way. We should talk a little bit about Teatro Vista, which is they strive to produce new works by Latino theater artists and present classic plays as well, featuring artists of color. So we want to make sure we develop a relationship with them, too, and make sure that...
They're amazing. This is the 25th anniversary. So it's a big deal. My older brother Marvin Quijada has been an ensemble member with them for a very long time. So I've been watching their work. I've been a big fan. You know, I've been like from being a kid, very much admiring the work that they that they make. And now being able to work with them is just dream come true.
Can we talk for a moment about how quickly Brian and I both speak? Do you think it's from growing up listening to Spanish? We speak English at the pace of the Spanish language a little bit.
I think so. I think
you really do. I really have to hone in here. I'm like focused. You caught me off guard from the get-go.
And James, drinks are going to be coming in.
I know. It's downhill for me.
That'll slow us all down.
Esmeralda talks at a very even keel. Were you ever told that you talk too quickly, Esmeralda?
No. But I do realize in Spanish you do talk. I don't know if it's the language itself, but people always just talk faster.
Yes, they do. They talk faster. I always feel like it's because if you're gonna, you just want to get your point across and finish everything you've got to say.
Yeah, there's too much to say in so little time.
I sort of thought that it was my wife just trying to make sure I didn't understand what she was saying.
That could be it. Let's take a quick break here. We are hanging out with James Vickery, who is performing all weekend at the Zanies in Rosemont. Go to zanies.com for information. And who else are you on the show with this weekend?
Brandon Vestal. He's great. Just met him tonight for the first time.
Very cool. It's a great comedy club.
It really is.
And I'm going to go see you this weekend, and I'm also going to go see Brian Quijada. Why Brian? Brian Quijada.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling him. Brian. NG. Brian.
He chose a name that was a little bit harder for them to say.
My brother's name is Marvin, so.
Marvin. And do you have any other siblings?
Yeah, my older brothers are Fernando and Roberto. They were both born in El Salvador.
See, Fernando was one of the names I was going to name. People give me a hard time for not giving my kids Latino names or Spanish names. It's Griffin and Declan, which are more.
Those are great names.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But if I had a girl, it would have been Graciela. So
That's also a beautiful name.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, my parents were trying to be American. You know, they're trying to give us easier lives, I guess, in America.
How'd that work out for you?
Where did we sit on the bus?
Which is why he's written Where Did We Sit on the Bus? That is going through April 10th at the Storefront Theater, 66 East Randolph. Go to teatrovista.org. That's TEATROVISTA.org. And you can also call 773-599-9280. I assure you, the pace at which he keeps during the entire show is also enhanced with the music and the movement. You will enjoy this. More after this on 720 WGN.
It's February 1996, 30 minutes north of Chicago, Illinois. This brown boy is sitting in his third grade class in his miniature chair with his miniature cares, putting on hold his immature affairs from the playground because Miss Winter said, "Today we have an important lesson, a look into history and how we've all gotten to the present. We're going to go ahead and discuss slavery, the transportation of Africans on sailboats, the bravery of those involved in the Underground Railroad, the Emancipation Proclamation, and the years and years of discrimination yet to follow."
Is that what you were trying to do?
I was about to. Yeah.
I fixed it. For everyone reacting right now, they're not going to know what we're
laughing
at. That
was some serious stuff. That was
Oh, yeah. It's
coming
very
back from
serious.
Recess, that is a big thing. Pill to swallow.
By the way, her voice sounds rough.
She clearly needs to stop smoking.
Very soon, hopefully.
I don't know if we'll be able to contact her and ask her if she's possibly expanded her civil rights lesson a little bit. I don't think I learned very much in grade school. I have a history degree, so I ended up in college studying more about Mexican-American relationships. And I actually have a minor in Spanish history. And in Spanish, I don't speak Spanish fluently. I have a minor in it, but I can't.
It's all right.
No, it's not. I know. What? I'm Why? Tired. I'm not apologizing anymore.
Don't apologize.
I know. I'm not.
You shouldn't.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
I can't.
My best friend when I was growing up was Mexican, so I would go to his family's house all the time, and everyone would be speaking Spanish.
Did you feel left out?
I felt very welcomed.
Oh, did you? Good.
Great food,
but
great
still
food.
Couldn't really
good food in the
speak, kind of like tonight.
Sorry, James. Well, perhaps one of the things that you mentioned in the first segment that we played was, you know, your parents would be invited to parties, quinceañeras and baptisms, and it would say no children.
Right.
And by
they
the way,
didn't care.
And I go out of my way like when we got married, my husband and I specifically, not only did we invite children, but we had a children's table set up. We had fun sunglasses and coloring books because when I was a kid, my own half sister did not invite me to her wedding. And I was doing a one-woman show called The Diaper Diva, and I was talking about my sister not inviting me. My mom yells from the back of the theater. I'm like, my parents didn't take me to this wedding, and my mom yells, "They didn't want you!" I was like, oh, I didn't. This is a weird time to tell me in the middle of a live show.
What a theatrical moment.
Yeah. Live performance.
It's just like, oh my, there's two characters in this play now.
Well, and the great thing was, it was the night I got to see Saturday Night Live for the very first time, I saw Gilda Radner, and I was whatever that is, I want to do that.
Yeah.
So it was fine.
Absolutely.
It turned out just fine. I'm fine.
You're not scarred.
I am fine. But, you know, some of those parts, I did not have a quinceañera. Because when I turned 15, my mom said, "We'll do our American. We'll do your sweet 16." Mm-hmm. And then we didn't do my sweet 16. She goes, "Oh, I forgot to do your quinceañera."
Oh, what? you got told. You got what?
So mom, you owe me.
Yeah.
You owe me. What kind of rite of passage is there for boys?
Don't have quinceañeras. We were raised Catholic, so we had confirmation. but that's pretty much it.
But there you go.
There we go. But that's pretty much it. I mean, there's like a little, I guess, dinner that happens after that, but it's not like a big quinceañeras or like a that's like a party. That is like a one woman, just blowing up.
That's
and
true.
Just, it's
confirmation.
Like
I went to like Applebee's with my family.
Yeah, it's not a big thing. It's
that's
like
sweet.
A soup. There's no like, you know, quinceañeras also have their like chambelanes, which is like their line of boys that like some of them have.
I was not given a line of boys.
Yeah, no. So like, okay, so they have like chambelanes. They're called. I don't know what they're called in English, but it's basically like I've been in some that there's 15 boys. Or 14 boys, and she's like the 15th person, and all these little boys are just like walking around, just like dressed in like little tuxedos, just following the doing little dances, and it's a big event.
Wow.
Well, it's supposed to be a coming of age, sort of a present being presented to society,
exactly being presented as a lady.
And Esmeralda, did you have a quinceañera?
No, I don't know enough people. I
think that's
do you want us to bring you 15 boys? As well?
Oh yeah, I did not know 15 boys. Or 15 girls that would want to do that.
It's not always 15 boys, but
well,
you know,
I didn't know
the people
know
that like
enough
to do it up.
Yeah, and it's a lot of money.
It's a
lot of money. I think I wasn't going to spend that.
No.
I think that was the reason my mom really, and I don't blame her. We didn't have a lot of, and we weren't, I wasn't raised with all the I also didn't have a confirmation because I'm not Catholic.
So, well, some people, some people don't do, like, some people are like, I'll take a car instead.
Yeah. Oh, it does cost about that much, if not more. It's
right.
Like a mini wedding.
Take the car.
We are hanging out with James Vickery, who is performing at the Zanies in Rosemont. Coming up after midnight, we're going to have the Zanies drink special for the month with Pony and Cindy of Zanies. Again, go to zanies.com for more information. We also are we're just so happy to have you in studio, Brian. We'll have you back before you go back to New York. You've got to come back, by the way. Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Quijada is the performer and writer of Where Did We Sit on the Bus, a production of Teatro Vista. You can go to to the Storefront Theater, 66 East Randolph, or go to their website. I mean, you can show up.
You can show up and buy tickets.
Just show up.
Although, you know what? Like, their tickets are...
Tickets
are selling.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
Don't be surprised. Look at these reviews. Dazzling.
It's always like a surprising thing.
An explosion of energy.
Playful sexiness.
That's the one.
Playful sexiness.
Irresistible storytelling.
Tell Heidi she wants to see some sexiness. Zany's Rosemont, now through Saturday.
Also playful sexiness.
Pert and polished, my friend.
The sexiest.
I'm pert and polished. If loud and predictable. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by James Vickery, who is performing at the Zanies in Rosemont through Saturday. You can go to zanies.com for ticket information. Just click on the Rosemont calendar. We also have Brian Quijada, who is our new friend, and we hope to have him back before he leaves for New York. Mm. And then after, you can call
us. It'll happen.
Tell us how things are going. There are ice cubes being poured into a glass by Pony the bartender.
Oh, God, it sounds refreshing.
He's making mojitos. And Cindy.
For our new friend.
For our new friend.
We brought mojitos for you.
All those glasses.
Nice.
Are good.
I know. Look at that.
Look at that smile.
So it is. Happy.
Now it's really playful sexiness right there.
Right. we're just passing the sexiness
both
back and
you
forth.
You guys
here.
Are hitting on him. We missed this whole thing. How old are you?
27. 28 in a couple months.
What, too young? I don't know what you're
what?
I'm
bemoaning.
A 26-year-old.
Oh, so you're saying.
Yeah.
You're adorable, but. For you.
I'm wheelhouse.
My wheelhouse. Okay, I
James,
don't know what's happening.
Let's get the mojitos flowing.
We haven't even had mojitos, I swear to God.
We have not. I feel like I've opened the Carnarvon wagon. I've broken into all of Rokan's liquor. And we are all going to get
it is after midnight.
Some kind of trouble here. Yes.
We're good.
By the way, again, I want to thank our listener, Andrew. Cindy came in, and again, a lot of people saw that post where someone called me one of the nastiest words
stunned.
You can use. And but today I got here, and there was a note from Andrew in Alabama thanking us for our show, and I appreciate that. It's very sweet. Because we often say, if you want to participate in the conversation, we want to move the conversation forward, be polite, be kind.
Right.
But I was so struck by how angry this listener was last night. Are you getting angry audience members? Because there have to be comics talking about politics.
Well, you know what? Bozeman did the showcase last night and had a whole set on politics. But it was really, really funny. The comics...
Oh, Bozeman's killer, yeah.
But the comics don't necessarily... Like, you have a talk show. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different format than a stand-up comedy show. In a stand-up comedy show, you can't preach your agenda... Not that anybody really does, but
well, Lewis Black has a way of doing it that straddles the line, right?
So, and I think probably Tim Slagle and Will Durst, and there's several political.
I think
comics.
Slagle can be a little bit preachy because he has that tone, his delivery, but he does it in a way that he does it in a preachy way that leads you in one direction that you think you're going, and then all of a sudden he pulls the rug out from under you,
right?
And
right.
Durst has a way of, and he's not preachy. He's just kind of goofy
about
it. But
you're running a talk show format here, mm-hmm. and you are supposed to have opinions, and people
are so surprised. I had a listener when I sent me a message.
I have opinions.
I do. I had a listener say, if you're gonna play at journalist, then you should have all of your facts. I'm like, I don't play at journalist
no,
at all.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just have a little talk show. Da, da, da,
I have
da.
An opinion. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah,
I have other things.
Guess what? And if that listener had another opinion. Mm-hmm. Call in and intelligently give us that other opinion.
And not even intelligently. Just give us your opinion. Say it to my ears. Say it to my ears.
Without that word. That word.
I was glad you reposted it, though.
Well, the first time he sent it to me months and months ago, my immediate reaction was to delete it right away. And I was like, I can't. But I believe a lot of people have checked, and it was a created account so that he could troll people.
Yeah. Well, it's easy. It's easy to hide behind the computer and say mm-hmm. things like that.
It's
hard
terrible.
To call in and give your name and say stuff like that.
Yeah. We don't generally have them call in and say it to my ears. Well, the other thing is when they text, I got in trouble for calling texters because it comes up. We get their phone number. So when they text us, uh-huh.
You call called? You called? Back.
Yeah, Craig and I had a good time. And the woman that we called, like, she was saying that Melissa Dupre and I, clearly you learned English as a second language and went off
you
on
did?
Us. We were talking about, I know, we were talking about the Puerto Rican Day Parade and they were very upset about what we said about it. And we called and left a message because she obviously didn't answer. And then she like texted back, I'm really sorry. I came in the middle of the conversation. I didn't really, it was.
Well, once you make it real.
Well, but then the station said, don't do that anymore.
Well, you know,
yeah.
There's one comic who I won't mention his name, but he told me way back in the day before caller ID, the comment cards, you would put your phone number on it. And he got a horrible comment. He took the card. He said, every day for about 3 weeks, he goes, I would call the guy at like 3 a.m. when I got home from work.
Yeah, he's the only comic that's ever kept a comment card and done things. So yeah, I'm sure he's the only one.
Yeah, I would imagine that you guys never did that. But no, I'm like, my God, that's hilarious. So be careful what you put on the comment cards. Be nice.
Right, because people feel like they're not held accountable for some of the cruel things.
Right, because it's anonymous.
Now, you don't get comment cards at the theater. This is the thing. Like, in theaters, there's not like comment cards.
There isn't. No, there's no way to know what people are saying.
Right. Because you have the immediate. Right. I love theaters.
Unless you read Yelp.
Yes. Yeah. Are you getting Yelp reviews?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yelp
of any.
Theater,
is any? No. I don't know yet.
I guess I have to look. You get real critics that review.
Oh yeah, there's criticisms.
Criticisms.
There's criticisms.
My first comment card that I remember that I kept was it was me and Larry. I was the MC for Larry Reeb, and I was really green, and I was trying to do new material. And they wrote on the comment card, you know, as usual, your comedians are very funny. I really enjoyed the wait staff and your drinks were fantastic, but your MC is just not funny. And they ran out of room, so they turned it sideways and wrote at all.
They had to add the at all.
And I was like,
I want to make sure they know at all.
At all.
Not that she's not funny. She's not funny at all.
I still have that card. I need more room. Oh, I still have that card. I should send her the deadline.com article. But which I did to Tim Gingra, by the way. There's a comic who like started going off on me on Facebook a few years ago, and then he jumped on again on the WGN radio website, like making fun of me. So I just put the link to the deadline.com article.
That's it. Now that's your go-to.
Mic drop.
Copy paste.
Yes, quick text from the 630. I may not love the show every single night, but I listen every night, and calling women something awful just doesn't make sense. People don't think, oh, hey, let me be an arse and go and make someone feel bad for no reason. So interesting text from the 630.
And I think because it's not like a sense of, like, it's not a sense of righteousness. I just, if somebody's angry, I actually kind of feel sad for them. What's going on that what I say about your candidate makes you that hateful to wish me death, that I should crawl into a hole and die? There's something else you need to look at in your heart that I wish you the very best. I mean, it's unfortunate that the state has a budget impasse because we can't get you the services that you need. But
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's, you know, and I always say that too, when people get so angry at other people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? It's not what's done. You can't control what other people do. You can just control how you react to it.
That's what we've said on the show. And that's also, you could have a mojito from Pony.
And you could have mojito. So and good. That will help control how you react
to it. See what I did
there?
Cheers.
Is this the mango?
Yeah, I'm serving up two. We have the blackberry and the mango.
You have the blackberry.
Oh, the blackberry is just delightful.
We have a whole new lineup of drinks we just unveiled, and mojitos are one of them for the summer.
Do you want to try some of mine, Brian?
Great
sound. Do you want to try some of mine?
That's the mango.
Do you want to do a switcheroo?
I have my.
Oh, okay. Besides, I think there's some extra over there, too.
Yeah.
But, besides the mango and the blackberry, we also have the standard mojito.
It's amazing, isn't it, Brian?
We have a grapefruit mojito, and we also have a ghost pepper mojito.
Ghost pepper.
What's that?
It's a simple syrup with ghost pepper, so it's a sweet heat.
What?
Yeah, it's really cool.
I'm coming out to Zany's really cool. for one of those.
All right.
And if you don't like mojitos, because I don't care for them normally, but this mango mojito is my new favorite drink. It's really
good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of mango anything.
I feel like
we have a mango margarita, too.
Really?
I think I need to bring Brian out to the Zany's in Rosemont.
Let's go.
You don't have a show on Wednesday, do you? Next Wednesday?
I do school shows in the morning.
That's wonderful.
It's great.
Wow.
It's good. It's good to get the children.
The children.
Get the kids involved.
Get the kids.
I don't know if you heard Brian's story, but when he was in grade school, his teacher was talking about civil rights, and he asked about, you know, where did we sit on the bus, the Latinos, and she said that you didn't exist.
You weren't on
the bus. I was listening to that on the way down. We were driving. I was texting
you. Yeah. She didn't answer my question.
And what kind of reaction are you getting
you
from the students?
You just weren't on the bus.
You weren't on there. You weren't. No, you walked.
Good ones. You know what? Most people are. You know what? It's not even a let. What's good? What's the reaction that I get from most people is that most people, if they're not Latin, still wonder where they sit on the metaphorical bus of America, the black and white spectrum that we live in, as a melting pot of this country. People ask, I mean, unless you're Native American, really,
right?
We're all immigrants, right. Or the sons and daughters of immigrants. So it's very interesting to kind of hear everybody's take and how they relate to the question
and how far they feel like. I saw someone post online that you know, they're talking about the immigrants, that we're all immigrants, and they're like, yeah, but we didn't, you know, our people didn't come here to kill us. And I was like, I think the Native Americans would differ with you.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I think, was it like in Mexico, like near the area of what's Mexico City now, like 25 million perished after the, you know, colonization. And it's like,
the only people that aren't immigrants are truly the Native Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, we're finding all that stuff.
It is a country founded by immigrants.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but now we're not immigrants.
With the new, yes. Well, the new country. Well, the, because, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of struggle. And,
respect.
And that's why, I think that's why we turned we all turned to comedy. And you guys, you know, it's being surrounded by comics. These things are always kind of, you know, we might tell the corny stuff or the dirty stuff, but it's always coming from a voice of, this is either my struggle or these are the things that I'm passionate about. We all try to find a voice for that through humor. Because for me, I like to disarm people.
Well, and I will tell you one thing that I've learned working in comedy over the past a lot of years, is that doesn't take on such an amazingly deep, you know, when I say things now, like my family, I go, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Well, no, like it's not, do you know what I mean? It's not black and white. And it's not because everybody makes fun of everything.
Well, it's interesting.
And I think it puts everyone on a level playing field, I believe.
Yeah, it's definitely the case. Let's take a break here and come back and continue our conversation. You can jump in, by the way. This conversation, we always like to have it with you. 312-981-7200. We're talking about anything you want to, as a matter of fact. But right now we're talking a little bit about cultural identity and where we all fit in. Brian Quijada is starring in the show that he is performing and has written at. It is currently the Storefront Theater, 66 East Randolph. It's called Where Did We Sit on the Bus? It's produced. It's being produced by Teatro Vista. You can go to teatrovista.org. James Vickery is performing at Zanies in Rosemont. Go to zanies.com and click on the Rosemont calendar. More after this as we stir our cocktails on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by our brand new friend. Brand new, shiny, brand new. Just spank it brand new.
Shiny?
Shiny. Shiny, like brand new, like a shiny penny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean shiny like... Yep.
I have an oily face.
I meant playfully sexy. With comic verbs.
A little shiny, though. You might be sitting in the light or something now. I'm not sure, yeah.
Brand spanking new. Shiny. You're right. Shiny seemed like a weird one.
Shiny's good.
Okay, remove that from the final edit of the show, please. Brian Quijada, who has written and is performing and starring in his own show, Where Did We Sit on the Bus? You can go to teatrovista.org, 773-599-9280 for ticket information. That's TATROVISTA.org. My mom and I will be there on Saturday. I don't know why you need to know that, but in case you want to come hang out with us.
Yeah.
Come hang out with us.
Bring all your moms.
Bring all your moms and all your – and how would you suggest that people bring their kids? I can bring Griffin.
They can.
I'm bringing Griffin. How many? Like, okay, we'll
that dropped two F-bombs.
Okay, that's fine.
But they're warranted.
Not more than Iron Man, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It would be PG-13.
Yeah. All right. I'm bringing Griffin on Saturday.
So, is it the same show you do for schools and your show?
Not with
or
that
do you
word.
Adjust it?
Yeah. No.
Do you just take out the F-bombs for the schools?
No. I say them. I say them.
At the school.
Yeah.
What?
I say them. They come and they hear the F-bombs. I mean, listen. I use the language I use when it's needed, and you know, I hope that the children that come in,
like they've never heard it,
you know, yeah, like they know. I hope that they're at a mature level where they can take that, where they can, you know.
And why do you, and when you, when it's for kids, it because it's theatrically appropriate, it's part of the performance.
Yeah, I mean, there's towards the end of the play, it gets pretty political about. There's a piece called "Let Them In." About, you know, immigration nowadays and how, like, I wouldn't be here if my parents hadn't come.
Very illegally?
Very illegally, drinking and driving. No. If they hadn't come to the United States, if they hadn't crossed over, don't walk through the desert through 3 days, you know, if they hadn't sacrificed, I wouldn't be here and my name wouldn't be Brian.
Have they told you what made them, you know, flee? What made them?
Oh, yeah. The American dream.
Yeah.
Life in El Salvador is a pretty, I mean, I was back a few years ago and it's, you know, even it's still, I mean, El Salvador is just
impoverished.
Yeah. Impoverished. And like
there's a lot of crime, a lot of corruption.
It's a tough place. You can work and work and work and work and work. Like my father says, you can work and work and work and still be dead broke.
Right.
So they came here, you know, because my father's siblings came over here and they were like, oh, they're doing well. We're going to go. And I kind of feel like the show is kind of an appreciation, the sacrifices, the blood, the sweat. Mm-hmm.
You should be very proud of what you've done.
Yeah, I mean, you should all bring your moms.
All bring your moms.
What age group? What school? Like middle school? Do you go to
middle school? Yeah, I mean, middle school. I think it's more for the high schoolers.
Yeah, yeah.
Middle school is. I mean, I talk about my future wedding because I'm getting married in October. Woo! And that's something. And having future children and the fact that I'm marrying she's half Austrian, half Swiss. So, you know, there's some themes that...
How's her family reacting? I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
They saw the show and they loved it.
I just having married into a white family, my husband, they're Irish McIrishy, and I have a sister who, like, the first time I met her, she goes, so I understand that you're Mexican. Do you feel like a Mexican? And by the way, she was like, hi, I'm Catherine. It's Catherine with a C. I'm like, uh-huh. But she always has to remind me that I'm Mexican. You're not running into any of, you're the dark-skinned one in the family, or you're going to throw the jeans off. Like, I should have done that. Why didn't I look into my in-laws better? Sorry, Steve. I'm just...
just realizing.
She loves you, Steve.
Just dawned on me. I'm like, oh, there are people out there that are more...
I mean, I don't know. They haven't talked to me about it. I mean, they're not going to go to my face and be like, no, they're very sweet. They're lovely.
It comes out over time.
Yeah, maybe it'll come over time.
I mean, we've been together for a while. But anyway, that's what I'm saying is that the subject matter is, sure, I talk about having future children and how they're going to be a mixed kid. And, you know, like the future of America, you know, by 2050, we're supposed to be. Yeah.
People worry about Latinos being here. We're just here to help everybody get beige. You know, you don't want to burn as much.
I'm telling you,
cut down on the freckles.
Everybody's
and we're here to teach
brown.
You that you all have rhythm.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Yes, you all have rhythm.
It's not all of us. I'm a lost cause.
But there is also Let Them In is also a poem that's in it. It's a very political kind of statement, and some of it can be a little for mature audiences. So you have to drop some, bombs.
Some passion there.
But it's not a show that can't be appreciated by all ages.
They've heard pretty much.
And so adults.
People watch Die Hard at a very young age.
Right. Yeah.
We just shared that with Griffin. And we also, we did. Because we watched it when Alan Rickman passed away. And he knew him as Snape. And I thought it would be great to show him the role that made him famous in the United States.
I saw Eddie Murphy Raw when I was 6 with my older
there
brothers.
There you go. So that is just riddled with
F-bombs. That's horrible,
right?
By the way.
Is that what led you to the path of comedy?
Probably. Yeah.
That's why you're performing at Zanies in Rosemont
Eddie
this weekend.
Eddie Murphy Raw. Yeah. With Brandon Vestal.
Delirious is much
Brandon
better,
Vestal
by the way.
Is awesome.
Delirious is a better special.
Oh, really? I
special.
Like Raw better.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the Raw side.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I'm kind of on the Raw side.
Yeah, sorry,
maybe because it was the first hour comedy special I ever saw.
Which one's the one where he's dressed in
the red
purple?
Jumpsuit?
Yeah.
The red is Delirious.
That's
purple.
Delirious.
Yeah.
No. Black. I thought it was black. No, you're right. It's purple.
Purple and black is Raw.
Purple and black is Raw.
And Delirious is red. Yeah. So you still like Raw better?
I just didn't remember which
like
one was
red?
Which.
You like the red?
I'm Raw. I'm with Raw. Yeah. I remember Raw being like
it was
pivotal.
Great. I loved
it. Yeah.
So is Delirious.
None of these shows are important for none of those hour long specials by Eddie Murphy. By the way, I think those are the only two he ever did. He stopped doing comedy specials.
Those were done 20 years ago.
Yeah,
it's
at least.
Not even get there. But performing at Zanies this week. Who are you with this weekend?
Brandon Vestal.
And coming up, you also John Caponera is going to be there April 20th to 23rd. And but we're going to have you back before the 20th to 23rd. Who else do you have coming up? That Tony V. Tony.
No. We don't have Tony V.
Okay.
Cut that part off.
Just rip that off of there.
Doug Benson's coming up.
Oh, April Macy is there.
April Macy is so fun. There's not one person that's ever met her that doesn't absolutely love her. Plus, she's hilarious.
We'll work on it. We'll make people dislike her because she's wonderful. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. You can also watch us at WGNRadio.com. And don't forget to like our page, Patty V Show, on Facebook. And, you know, you can always flood the our page with nice things as opposed to what happened last night. And thank you for all the positive notes that we've gotten on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and texting and calling. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm totally fine. I'm fine.
It's just, I'll get through it.
People tell me to die. I am a little more hesitant to leave the building at night. I'm just like, hey, somebody walk me to my car. We have in studio with us a lot of good friends of ours. Now a new friend. I'm not going to use any adjectives because aside from new, because I got away. It got away from me last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian
he's
Glada.
Used powder since then.
Yeah, powder.
Brian is in Where Do We Sit on the Bus at Storefront Theater, 66 East Randolph. I'll be there on Saturday, but you can get your tickets at teatrovista.org. James Vickery is in studio. He is performing at Zany's in Rosemont through Saturday. So that's one show Thursday at 8 o'clock, two shows Friday at 8 and 10-ish.
10:30. That's 10-ish.
When I'm there, it's just 10-ish.
8 and 10:30.
After 10 sometime. And,
8-ish and 10-ish.
And then two shows on Saturday as well, also at 8.
7
and 9:30.
Oh, look at you doing your homework.
Yeah, those are always the fun shows when the headliner doesn't know what time the second show, the first show, 7 o'clock. And Pony has whipped up some incredible mojitos. Do you have suggestions? I know
so
people
good.
Can't. I know some people, aren't they though? Mm-hmm. Some people can't. They're intimidated by simple syrup because mojitos really relies
you can,
on
you
the simple
really
syrup.
You can really overdo it or underdo it. You have to get it just right. It's a little more complicated than you think.
Yeah.
And
because you think it's just water and,
right.
and sugar. And you
I've
just,
had some bad mojitos and like Cindy was saying she hated mojitos till we mojitos. Served her up this.
Well, is it because they're not making their own simple syrup? They're just using
Possibly.
Whatever. They're using Possibly. Something else, like and sour or something.
You make all your simple syrup. You make all your
well,
simple
we have
syrup.
Some that's supplied, but some of the flavors we use are coming, but it's very high quality simple syrups and flavors. So, like, on these, we have the base for these two, the raspberry and the mango, are fresh mango muddle and the fresh, you know, raspberry muddles.
Nice.
That we have
this is
it.
The this is the best mango.
So
it's amazing.
It's
like
so
that.
Good.
And
see?
You know, we love in it in the mango one. We actually use mango rum and Cruzan standard rum as well. There's nice. Two rums that go into this. So there's not just one ingredient. There's probably four ingredients. In it
and like when they do, we have a grapefruit mojito too, and they muddle the pink grapefruit. Mm-hmm. And it's
Instead
really
of lime,
we use
we'll
a lot
do,
of fresh
we'll
stuff.
Do a grapefruit in there.
Oh, I'm gonna bring Brian out on Wednesday.
Fair. Come on,
if you're free
yeah,
Wednesday
go.
Night.
This is amazing. Not a lot of comedy clubs do this, by the way. Take this much care in their cocktails.
No, Zany's Rosemont.
No,
take
we
it to
do.
It.
Yeah,
let's go.
It started with Dan, the operations man. Mm-hmm. When I hired Dan when we opened 4 years ago, you know, I said, we'll do basic food. We'll do." Dan said, "I will not work in a club that serves." Nachos with cheese sauce.
Oh, the Very pizzas! Goodness. The pizzas what? Are great with like arugula.
Yeah, and Dan,
for sure.
It's been his mission to create, and then with Pony too, it's been their mission to create really, really high quality, different drinks and food, and for a comedy club.
This we
is
want
great.
You to come
this is what
in
we're gonna
and
see
have
next,
something that
next
you can't, absolutely can't get anywhere else. Either quality or taste Bro. Or something. It's all about taste, flavor, presentation. When the server walks out and somebody sees something on their tray and they all go, what's that?
Yes.
And that's great.
And we were just talking
the
this
wow
year,
factor.
Too. Mm-hmm. This year, too, we're trying something this summer for the first time because in Rosemont, they do the concerts out there on Tuesdays and Thursdays out in the middle of the park area there. This is the first year we're going to be out there participating, and we're going to have booths. We're going to have food and drinks out there as well for the concerts.
Well, and get Amazing. People who are just coming out for the concerts familiar with the club.
Yeah.
That's smart.
So we had a little more.
You guys opened 4 years ago, you said.
We did 4 years ago, 4th of July weekend. Yeah. We opened July 5th and
6th. What a bang. Going in there with a bang.
Well, we decided, we'll open on the 5th and 6th with a soft opening. We won't really say anything. We won't, because it'll be slow and the staff will be easy to be trained. We were packed like we had to add shows, and my poor staff was like, we thought it was going to be slow. it was incredible. The demand was great. It's a great Rosemont is an amazing town. It's well run. The venue is
everybody comes to Rosemont.
Yeah. The venue is one of the best in the business.
It really is. From a comics point of view, too, best green room there is.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
It's so comfortable.
Leather couches, nice television.
Beautiful
you can hear the show going on in the showroom. Yeah. Yes.
A bathroom in the green room. Yes. That's why
what?
It is. Don't let him kid you. There's a bathroom in the green room, and that's why
and
it's
a fancy one.
Full of great snacks, including
and
peanut butter pretzels.
And candy and
a coffee maker.
Wow. You've got a coffee maker. Yeah, it was my goal. That was supposed to be my office, by the way.
Well, thank you. Was it really?
It was.
That was supposed to be my office, and we're like, oh,
you have a utility closet.
We don't have enough room for anything. So I now have a desk under a stairwell up front. You're welcome, Alex.
Thank you.
But really, it's important to have a nice green room with a bathroom back there.
Yeah.
Did you ever see what was the green room at the Zanies in Vernon Hills?
That was the sound booth, right?
It was across from the sound booth. There was the sound booth. They ended up making that into like a long little office too. But we used to sit there. You only had enough room for the chair, and if you sat in the chair, you had to put your feet on the wall because your legs wouldn't fit between the chair and the your knees wouldn't fit.
Yeah, see, green rooms were never; they were always an afterthought.
Right.
And when we designed Zanies in Rosemont, it was part of the plan.
Yeah, you actually bought furniture like a lot of places. I shouldn't name clubs, but since Zanies and Vernon Hills is closed, and we all know.
Yeah.
But and now Zanies has stepped up is the point. But there are some clubs where they literally get couches like that have been thrown out. On the side of the street.
Like you see them bring it in.
They're pounding on them. You see
Febreze it just for. It'll be fine.
So thank you for taking it up.
The commercial cleans everything.
And what I love about what I've always loved about Zanies is that they always take care of me because I'll go in and people just have like my cocktail ready for me. It's a little sad.
That's what we did. We had and we have Doug Benson coming back up in May.
What's he drink?
Too. He drinks kettle and soda with a lemon.
Well, there you
go. And you know, the second time he came back, I said kettle and soda with lemon, and he went, oh my God,
that's
like
amazing.
I can't believe you remember that. And it's little things like that are important. I mean,
well, every time Pony sees me, he just reaches for the Grand Marnier.
Yeah, that's right. Heat
it
up a
used
glass
to be Sambuca. I remember back
Sambuca.
In the day, you were a Sambuca girl.
Oh, so really? Brutal. I know. It's so
Sambuca.
Sweet.
Yeah.
This was years and years and years ago, and I never
Let's
tried Sambuca.
Let's a couple years off of that. That seems like a lot of years.
No, it was.
When was the last time you had Sambuca?
What was that?
When was the last time you had Sambuca?
It's been a long time.
All right, no. It
has been a long time.
I never had it before until Patty came in.
Did you like it?
Well, it's like ouzo.
It's too sweet, yeah.
It's sort of ouzo-ish.
Like yeah, it's very thick.
Yeah, well, I don't mind it for a little bit, but yeah, I couldn't drink it consistently.
Yeah, it's...
What is your go-to drink?
This is so pathetic.
Oh.
It's Miller Lite on ice.
Really?
I know, it's
that
so...
Wait, Craig, why are you nodding yes?
No, that's awesome. On ice specifically is a really... Yeah.
You know what?
If you're going to do a Miller Lite, it's super, super cold.
You should even go Miller Select or
and
something like that.
People go... Really? Because Miller Lite isn't like wussy enough. You have to put it on ice and dilute it even more. I'm not a huge drinker. Like
Miller
I'm not
Lite.
A shot girl. Yeah, yeah. I'm not a, which running a comedy club is probably a good thing.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Miller Lite on ice is actually all my right. go-to. Or
with a little soda water top off.
She's a cheap date. I love
I'm
that.
A, I'm a, you know what? I'm with you. I'm a champagne of beers. I'm a high life.
Oh,
I do like high life.
I just, it's just so refreshing.
Wow.
It's the most refreshing beer.
He must
and
have like an endless budget for those kind of things.
I just,
beers. Man.
Oh, now I'm even thirstier than I was before we started. Why is this SUV just backing up on Michigan Avenue? I don't understand
That's
what he did
weird.
There. Yeah.
He doesn't understand the lights.
Oh, because the light was red.
Well, he blew through the red and then he backed up to catch it.
It's probably a picture taken and he's just like, oh, I hope they take another picture where I've corrected it.
Gets out and takes his own picture. Well, we want to thank Zanies for coming out. Cindy and Pony, thank you so much for bringing cocktails. And this is your drink. Now, Diva, is this your drink special or is this?
Well, we have a whole new menu. We have a whole new drink menu, a whole new. Yeah, it's we do a really, really good job with our food and drinks out there. I mean, the show is always. Zanies is known for their amazing shows. Every single show, every single time, you're going to see a great show. But also, being out in Rosemont, we have to keep up with the Park Tavern and the Bub City and everyone around us.
That's right.
Gotta have the good stuff.
And this takes off some of the pressure off the performers, where it's like, hey, you don't like me? You have a great mojito.
You have
an incredibly strong mojito.
we always have a great lineup of drinks. And even with the new menu we have out, if you have a favorite on the old menu, you ask the girls for the secret stash.
Oh.
It's like In-N-Out Burger now.
You just give a secret menu. That's good. You also feel like that inclusion.
Yeah.
Of
just for pretty late listeners, ask for the secret stash at Zany's and Rosemont.
Tell them Patty Vasco sent you.
Yeah. Oh, they know. They'll know. They'll know it was me. That's so James Vickery is performing at Zany's in Rosemont. Go to zanys.com for ticket information. You can also call 847-813-0484. And we'll be out there next week to see April Macy. I'm taking Brian Quijada out there.
Great. It'll be fun. April's really fun. She uses the F word more than once.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Amongst other words.
And have seen her use the other words, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Cindy and Pony, for bringing us cocktails.
Thanks for the drinks. Yeah.
And coming up in just a few minutes, we have the Cupid Players to bring us a little lullaby. More after this on 720. Placing a loved one in a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved one in return. Sadly, nursing home negligence is real, and it's a serious problem. Neglect and abuse of the elderly happen every day. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon wants you to know that nursing home negligence can cause serious, life-threatening medical conditions like dehydration and malnutrition, fractures, infections, pressure sores, and even death. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Conasec and Dillon. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Conasec and Dillon understands that entrusting a loved one to a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. Protect your loved ones. Call Conasec and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Conasec and Dillon at 630-262-9655. We have a theme song for our Cupid Players, don't we? But I know it's been a while since we played it's been a while since I've seen our friends from Cupid Players. We have Andy, Rini, and Kiki in studio with us. James, have you been here for Cupid Players?
I have not. It's exciting.
Ooh. First time.
So would you say this is a low?
Sorry. By the way, can I go ahead and do this real quick?
Yes.
Yay, it's my favorite.
Well, here's something different that you're not used to. It's a bedtime lullaby from the Cupid Players. Put your hands together for the Cupid Players. Written by the Cupid Players. Edited by the Cupid Players. Performed by the... I'm not reading this big stack of Cupid Players. Let's just get on with it.
It is our pleasure to welcome the Cupid Players in studio, one of our favorite discoveries. They originally were also new shiny friends when they first came in studio after Sketchfest. They've powdered down. They're all good. And it was our pleasure to meet them last year at Sketchfest, and they've become regulars on our show. Would you say that this is a kind of lullaby that our listeners who are perhaps in search of slumber can now drift off to sleep?
Totally.
Especially for... For
those
looking
for love.
I
suspect that they're being a little tongue-in-cheek.
I'm intrigued.
I'm confused. So I guess it's okay. When I'm looking for love, I typically don't want a nap.
some of our listeners complain that they can't fall asleep to this show because there's too much giggling, too much laughing. So if you are in need of sleep, this is your opportunity to, curl up. If you have your little eye mask.
Yeah, this is a really good point. Light a couple candles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You don't want to fall asleep with candles on, correct?
Oh, okay, got it.
That would be insane.
No, it's dangerous.
Maybe spray some lavender on your pillow. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the little battery candle thing that's not really a candle.
Those look real nice.
Push the button on that battery candle. I agree. It's got the essence of a flicker, but
it's kind of the same.
Lasts forever. You can put it right to your face and not even hurt yourself. I don't know. I'm talking about a childhood injury and disaster with a candle. I know.
Oh,
I still have a scar.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Just revealed too much in the middle of a Cupid Player segment.
That's what we do best.
That is what we do best. We specialize in revealing too much.
Open old wounds.
Just want to open wounds to you guys. I know it's weird.
Yeah, bare my soul and other things. It's weird. Do you want to introduce your song at all, or would you like to just go into it?
You want to just do it? They'll get it by the chorus, I think.
All right. We're going with the Cupid Players. They're just going to do it. Here to bring your lullaby, help you drift off to sleep, are Kiki, Rini, and Andy from Cupid Players.
It's that we all do. It's no offense to you.
You seem really nice.
It's just the way that you dress, and your hair is a mess.
And you fist bumped me twice.
It's just a part of me.
And your cologne makes it so hard to breathe. It's a deal breaker, baby, can't you see? And believe me, it's just one of many.
Are my deal breakers.
I can't date you if your name is Kevin. I can't date you if you're the youngest of seven.
Six siblings.
That's just too much. It's a deal breaker. And I can't date you if you wear too much hair gel. I can't date you if your age is something you won't tell.
What if you're 40?
That's just too much. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's a
deal breaker.
If you're a Pisces, then I won't end up your wife.
If you don't like pizza, then just get out of my life.
It's not okay if you don't laugh at my puns.
If you've never seen Mean Girls, then we're done.
It's not okay if you disagree when I say Chicago is the greatest city. It's a deal breaker.
I can't date you if you have five babies. I can't date you if you recently had scabies.
That's actually crabs.
That's just too much. It's a deal breaker. And I can't date you if you sing while you're peeing. I can't date you if you like to go skiing.
Look what happened to Sunny.
That's just too much. It's a deal breaker.
If you're too short, or if you're mean.
If you work out too much.
Or if you have a huge peen.
If your eyebrows look
better than mine. If you've never had a Valentine.
It's a deal breaker.
I can't date you if you worship Satan. I can't date you if you think that we're dating. Cause that's commitment, and that's just too much. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's a
deal breaker.
Bye.
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 And good night to those of you trying to get some sleep.
Yeah, that was great.
Nighty night. That was wonderful. Cupid Players every Saturday night at Stage 773. Go to stage773.com. Their performance, Cupid Has a Heart On. Tickets are available on their website. It is one of the great theater venues in Chicago, and you should check it out. If you've never been there, there's all kinds of things happening there all the time.
Always. Truth.
How is so this one, is this a collaboration or was this a solo song? Someone wrote this.
Keith wrote this one.
Yeah, I wrote this song.
I was nervous for the whole thing. I was like, when's the thing going to be a super specific description of something about me?
That you
did. I was waiting for it.
And when they said, if you sing when you pee, you're like, oh, I'm out.
There it is. It
well, let's be the, real. That's me, too. I mean, that's just a call out. Everybody does that, right? Right?
My favorite is Kevin. I can't date you if your name is Kevin.
Yeah, poor Kevin.
So
poor all Kevin's.
Kevin. Sorry to that one guy that I dated named Kevin. Yeah.
He ruined it for the rest of them. He ruined it for the rest of them.
But he was the worst, so forget him. Yeah.
And when you guys are performing with Cupid Players, and then you have one, still, we've got to get out to the show so Craig can see. Oh, you did see it.
Were I they, saw the Cupid Players.
When
I
they
saw
were,
them at Sketchfest.
That's right. When the boys say that there's one thing that they've, every man has tried doing to himself.
That every man has not tried.
Brian, ever tried doing that to yourself? Pleasing yourself orally?
Wow.
All right, then.
That was great. I usually play around with how we describe it. Have you ever tried to bend
Brian.
Down to your nether regions?
He can't. I have the studio
have
sound is out.
So
you ever try to snack on your own treats?
She did so much better than I did.
She
really.
By the way, do we have any tips for how you stop yourself from singing while you pee? Is there any?
Is there is there a way to stop yourself from singing while you pee?
I say embrace it.
Okay, cool.
You got to fight boredom somehow.
Somebody will love you for that. Like, we might hate you for that, but somebody will love you for that, right?
Good luck with that.
I'm not ashamed of it.
We are hanging out with the Cupid Players. Can you stay for one more segment, or do you guys have to?
Yeah,
if you, I don't want to keep you up
we're
late.
We're here, yeah.
All right, then. Hi. We have the Cupid Players. Do we have a break before the news, or are we're all good? All right. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have our friends from Cupid Players. Do you like being called Cupid Ladies? ladies.
We do sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
All right, then the Cupid
the
ladies.
Ladies
are here.
Of Cupid.
The ladies of Cupid. Cupid. Yeah. Brian Quijada is still in the studio. We don't have a microphone for him right now, but we will we'll work through things. And we've got James Vickery. Plus, he's hanging back there. We gave him a couple mojitos. He's chilling a little bit.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, do you have to floor?
Are you performing at a school tomorrow, Brian?
No.
No. Okay, so you're good. I don't want to send him off to a grade school. Just kind of like his hat hung down low. No one talk too loudly. Everyone keep it down. James Vickery is performing at Zany's in Rosemont, and we want to thank Cindy and Pony for coming out and just really sharing some lovely cocktails. So go to zanies.com for ticket information. Cupid players are every Saturday night at Stage 773. I know, I didn't mean, I know I was like, if I say that, Craig's going to bring him a microphone and then I feel bad, but that works. I know we've got a microphone for, and then you got to bring the chair over. And here, there's a chair over here, Brian. You don't have to roll everything over.
No, I got it.
All right, then you bring that chair over. Because we are, we've got, now it's like a, I didn't know what to do. Like when I Craig will attest to this. I am sometimes not sure how to choreograph everyone's in studio. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to like shift people out and then I feel like I'm doing it on
air
meeting.
No, it's fine because our show does prefer to keep some guests, but other guests, it's kind of like, well, if we keep everybody, then we don't have enough microphones.
And then if I don't keep everybody, they're like, why'd you keep that person?
Right. Is this your way of trying to say you want me to leave?
No.
No, not at all. James.
Did I move? Have I moved you once from your house? And poor Brian's like, well, you did move me from my house. That means we have in studio with
could
us.
Could you get me some water, though?
Yeah, could you? Do we have water yet? No?
No, we're none in the station.
I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that on
we're
the air.
We're really, yeah.
We've never talked about the
we're
water.
We're like California over
it's
here.
Been replaced with mojitos.
Oh, they are yeah,
which is better.
That's a good exactly. Point. Kiki, Reenie, yeah. And Andy are in studio representing the Cupid Players, and they've given us a song. By the way, Uriel just posted on our Facebook wall, thank you for sleep.
So, you're welcome.
You are welcome, Uriel.
We have to give people some like a bookmark. They have to know where, sure. Okay, this is my landing spot. Sure. I can now drift off to sleep.
Right.
Should we talk in hushed tones?
Oh, yes, very relaxing voices. So sleepy times.
I don't do it very well.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna have nightmares now, guys.
Yeah, that got you a mirror.
Brian Quijada, what's your relaxed sleepy voice?
It's just like a oh yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, I'm not sure what's happening there.
Yeah. This was better than mine.
I also think we sound a little bit like a NPR if we talk like this.
Yeah, sure.
Craig's head popped up. He's like,
it's good.
Yeah, it's no, it's just they're more sedate tones. They have very important things to say, and we're drinking mojitos,
mm-hmm. Which are important.
Singing about butts,
giving my druthers. I'm just yes, Craig.
Oh no, she just said we're singing about butts, but I hope we're singing about certain things. Yes,
no,
things.
No.
That was off air meeting.
Just yeah, off air meeting.
Generally speaking, we sing about butts.
I have a panic button
for our audience and for Brian who joins us. There are questions that come up about appropriate language on the air, and
especially
and
when we're here.
No, not just for you. Just so you don't think it's you. We've had it is generally comics that we have a little more of an issue. Although there was that one, there was a professor who also dropped a couple of words.
That did. Yeah, I'll
really?
Just make a handout moving forward, and I'll just give it to the Cupid player guests. I mean, all the guests, so that they know what to do.
Right.
Yes, but that one that you asked about, probably not.
It's a string of words. All of the words individually are not bad.
Yes, balls, right. You can play, sure. Be playing tennis,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Those are bouncy.
Sure.
And you know what? Some people are just complete asses. And
sure.
Right. You know?
Sure.
It's like, Craig's like, which don't line are you going to walk up to? Which
the
line?
The fun line, Patty.
Which line are you walking up to? So Kiki, you have the guitar tonight. Are all of you musicians? Do you all play instruments?
Yeah.
Right? Ever call
yeah,
it
we're every, like almost everybody
almost
plays
the whole
something
group plays
now.
Something at this point. Yeah.
Except for poor Billy.
Yeah, except not, sure.
Well, he plays the cymbals.
And the tambourine.
The drums. Oh, the tambourine. That's
sure, taps, sure. On, taps on stuff.
That's
it's important to do that.
Yes. It's still technically an
he
instrument.
Makes noise.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are those like finger drums?
I just
think
about the finger drums.
The finger drums.
Because we had Billy in studio, and I don't play any instruments either, but people have told me, oh, you can play tambourine. And it's kind of like the nice little way of patting me on the head and go, look at you.
Cowbell.
No
cowbell.
Talent.
Oh, yeah. You can play cowbell.
A triangle? Could you, can I be an honorary Cupid player
like,
with a
triangle?
Yeah,
maybe one like tiny little djembe. You can, like, it's a really tiny djembe that you can play.
Okay. And
we
maracas?
Had a whole song called Tiny Instruments, Big Things, written by Andy O, and it was just all of us playing like little baby toy instruments the whole time.
I had a gopachan.
Yeah, you did.
We would love it if
a
you guys
a gopachan?
What's
a gopachan?
A gopachan
so
is
that?
An Indian one-stringed instrument.
What?
It's beautiful. It's great. It's in that, you know, the Fuji song, like bow 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 strumming my
yeah, 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 yeah.
That's
yeah.
a Gopachan.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you know.
Whoa. He just got very excited. You want a Gopachan, don't you?
Yeah. At least want to see one.
Awesome. Bring it next time, Patty.
All right, yeah. then. You have to bring Brian back. He lives in New York now. He's all fancy.
Oh, fancy.
It's not that bad. I'm poor. It's all. It's like I pay. All my money goes to rent.
Yeah. I've already tried telling him to move to Los Angeles. I did. I wasn't very veiled about that, was I, Jimmy?
No, you weren't.
I always call you Jimmy. That was weird. I never call you Jimmy.
No, people do, though, so you can.
I'm going to call you Jimmy.
You're Jimmy for the rest of the night.
I'll take
Jimmy.
It.
That's right.
I'll take it.
By the way, we have to call Kristen later for our wake-up call. Is she prepared for that?
She is not, but isn't the idea that
Did she's not
prepared?
Supposed to be? Yeah, I don't know. She knows you're on the show, so she'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. James's wife has appeared in the series Love and has recently shot an episode of, can I say?
Sure.
Episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes. Oh, nice. Yeah. Great show.
We're so excited.
It is.
We're very proud of her.
Awesome.
And I'll be out in Los Angeles at the end of the month. And all of you, just make trips out there to just, you know, get a feel for it.
And just hang out on the beach.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Let's go to that.
Get some sun.
Get some In-N-Out burger. Oh, man. Mm.
I don't know about that.
You and I disagree on some food things. All right, we'll have to readdress this.
We'll have to readdress this at some other point. Yeah. We do agree on Irish whiskey, so we're fine.
We do,
on that,
yeah, absolutely.
That's the important, yeah, the important, thing
the important things in life. What is your go-to cocktail, Brian? You were asking. Did you ask? You asked Cindy.
I'm a big bourbon guy. I took a trip to Louisville while I was working there, and I was just. I went to the hotel that originated the Old Fashioned.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, look how excited we all got.
I love Old Fashioned.
That was the right crowd
for
that.
Yeah, yeah, and it was delicious. Louisville really knows what they're doing when it comes to their bourbons.
Don't they have a lot of dry counties there, though? Like, you can't taste it there.
It's super weird. Yeah. Like, they have... Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I'm not, you know, I don't know about the specifics. but I did have a blast, and I was sober for very few hours.
That's good. So you did it right.
Yeah, exactly. You're enjoying yourself. And by the way, when you go to Stage 773, they have a lovely bar there as well.
They do.
With a lot of specialty beers. I know that they have Revolutionary Road.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the thing. There are four theaters there, but you guys are on the main stage?
We're in the box.
The box.
We're performing
in the box.
Oh, I didn't know that you're in the box.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's really interesting.
That's how we are. Oh.
Ooh.
I feel like we need to do a slumber party with the ladies of Cupid
I'm
Players.
In.
Patty's
yes.
here with audible gas.
Yes.
Yay.
Oh, my God. Yay. Yes. Sounds so great.
Kraga. Your lava.
Your lava.
Okay. Maybe it wouldn't be a great idea.
This is the way we speak to each other.
I did not kegel enough for that experience.
They locked the green room door for a while, by the way.
Yeah,
they were
all
just locked in there.
What was going on in the green room?
Yeah, what happened there?
We can't tell you.
We were having girl talk, Craig.
I had to shove the door open, and then they all got awkward about it.
Breaking the door open.
Yeah, something
broke it.
We were having a slumber parties pillow fight. We didn't want to tell anybody.
What kind of games did you play when you were at slumber parties, Kiki? Do you remember? Because we did like Light as a Feather. Did you ever try?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We did that. And we also just put a lot of makeup on each other.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, the go-to. I actually have this this really horrific memory at a slumber party where we played hide and seek. And I went searching for the person hiding. And someone was in the bathroom pretending to go to the bathroom. Mm. So when I opened the door and I was like, oh, no, I walked in on them. They were all in there hiding and had faked me out.
Oh.
So I ran away and I was scared because I was traumatized.
Yeah, that sounds traumatizing. Yeah,
a little bit.
Poor Kiki. I didn't mean to open. We're opening wounds
no,
on this show.
No, it's totally funny.
We're having fun.
What's that twitch you have?
I know.
What's happening to that?
Poor Kiki
muscle.
Does sound like a great sitcom name.
Poor Kiki.
That would be Croatian girl.
After
Kiki's Croatian. Yeah,
after the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, it's the Poor Kiki show.
Poor
I like that. Rini, any memories?
Wait,
I guess
as Kiki said that, I was like, I just remember doing a lot of like choreographing to pop songs.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
that happened.
Like hanging out in the basement and being like, yeah, like we're gonna learn the NSYNC music video dance moves. Then we're gonna make up our own. There were a lot of decisions made about like who got to be which Spice Girl.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I always got like Jerry, which I was like fine with, but not that fine with because she left of her own accord. You know, she ditched the group.
Who was the one to be? Who did everyone want to be?
Everyone wanted to be Posh or Baby. So cool. Posh, Baby, and Sporty were the top ones that people usually wanted to be, but
James, which Spice Girl? Scary Spice.
She was my favorite.
That's a good
too.
Choice.
She was my favorite.
That is a good choice. Yeah.
Brian, did you have any slumber parties growing up?
Oh my God, too many to. I don't know which I liked the best. All of them were so good.
You're really taking this to heart.
I just remember the music video. Which one was the one that was sitting on the bridge? Do you remember this music video? The to become one.
Yep.
You
know what
I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Spice
Girl. I never needed love before.
Anyway, I remember one sitting on a bridge, and I want like that one. I like that one.
All right.
Great. Patty, go ahead. Slowly step away from the microphone. It's totally fine. Go ahead. You guys take control. By the way, Ginger is a great Spice Girl. I don't know what's wrong with
her. I liked her too. Seriously. It's just like
I thought we were talking about baking. I don't know what happened there. Craig's like, I don't know. I like to use a little bit of allspice.
Yeah, throw everything in.
I don't know. It's a curry.
Starry. Totally fine. Wow. What are we talking about again?
I don't know. Sleepovers. This is our sleepover recipe book.
Well, and I'm in the mood because we were making plans to watch movies with Marines. Mm-hmm. And I know my life is so, I know, I'm blessed, aren't I? I'm like summer parties with Cuba Players and also movies with Marines. Mm-hmm. Taking Brian to the comedy club next week. Mm-hmm. James Vickery is at Zanies and Rosemont.
Yep.
We have to hang out and do, you know, can you come
we
with me on Saturday
whiskey.
To see Brian? Oh, no.
No, I'm performing.
I forgot. I just said that. And then they break out in a song singing. That's where Craig's head kind of went, I don't know what's happening for the show. You have another lullaby for our listeners who are trying to fall asleep.
Kiki's got another
Kiki's
one
got
for us
tonight.
That's also a good name for a sitcom.
Kiki's got another one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have multiple.
Here with a lullaby. In case you didn't fall asleep to the last one, here are Cupid Players with their lullaby. Shh. Go.
Happy anniversary to you, I am yours and you are mine. Now before you come on over, I thought I'd drop you a line. Now most girls say you don't have to buy me anything, and that's a straight up lie. There's one gift you can get me, if you want me anywhere near your thighs. Buy me beer, or if beer's not your style, buy me food, and you're sure to make me smile. If you want me on my knees, just give me beer or give me cheese. I'm not trying to be pedantic, it's quite romantic, just buy me beer. Now don't go get me flowers, they'll just wither away, and teddy bears are cute if I wasn't trying to get laid. I wanna feel appreciated like you listen when I talk. Now a good gift is to make sure tomorrow I can't walk. You know what I mean. But also buy me beer, or if beer's not your style, buy me food, and you're sure to make me smile. I wanna teach you what love means, and it sure ain't to box a terrible chocolate from Walgreens. Don't buy me a necklace unless you're feeling reckless. If you love me, you'll buy me beer. I like Coors Light.
Yes.
Cupid Players with Buy Me Beer.
Buy me beer.
It's so simple.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Straightforward. Yeah. Not asking for much.
Coors Light on ice, maybe?
On ice.
Mm-hmm. She likes hot. It on the can.
Hot. You like
she's
it hot?
Hot lady. She's a hot lady.
I mean, that was hot.
Oh, that was.
Fair enough.
Poor Kiki.
Poor Kiki.
Was there a specific kind of food too, or was it just like any
just food?
Cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cheese is the main one. Cheese on burgers,
fries.
Yeah,
anything potatoey.
myself. Carbs and cheese.
Yeah. Anything potato-y.
Tater tots with cheese. That's
classic.
Oh, now I'm hungry. What's open until 4 tonight? That we can go get
We're in Chicago,
tots?
Patty. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Mm, you'd be surprised. We walk for blocks.
Yeah, don't you have like the hookup on all the late night joints? Yeah,
you know, you go, that's right? Got to be a segment that we've been meaning to work on is the pretty late grub.
Yeah.
Grubhub. That seems like it's already been taken. I feel like we should be the center of
what's open late. Let's keep brainstorming.
Absolutely. I want to thank our Cupid players for being in studio tonight, and we'd love to have you back. By the way, did you end up using the purchase I made for you?
I haven't yet.
You haven't yet?
I haven't yet. Are
you scared?
A little bit.
Oh, are you?
I'll be honest with you, I am.
Esmeralda, are you comfortable talking about the purchase that you've made that changes?
Oh, the Diva Cup?
Yes.
I just yanked it out today.
Yes.
I love it.
So, yeah.
You could not have.
Now everyone knows about my.
You
life.
Could not have imagined how joyous it was to receive that package at my house, though. And be like, oh my God.
We were
here
at the Oakwood and we were talking about it.
Patty literally whips out her phone. She goes, okay, will you try it if I just buy it for you? And she gets on her Amazon and sends me a. Craig's got his face
I don't
in his
know
hand.
No, what
it is seriously. It is wonderful to use that because, one, mm-hmm. you don't have to buy tampons yeah. or pads or whatever, mm-hmm. what have you.
Esmeralda.
It's amazing.
What did you say before, though?
I yanked it out today, which yes. means I'm done now.
Good for you, girl. I'm gonna make a vow. I'm gonna next time I'm using it.
I told her if she had any questions, but I guess that's kind of an intimate thing. Just yeah. like,
well, there's things. It's just like getting used to. Yes. It's just you got to get used
that's
to
it.
Yeah,
fair.
But commercial break.
That.
Oh no, this is so terrible.
All right, we need to see. I want to see Andy in studio the next few weeks.
I'll let find you out. Know. Yeah. I will let you know.
Easily, I'll take one.
We'll write a song.
Thank you so much. Cupid players perform every Saturday night. Cupid has a heart on at Stage 773. Go to stage773.com. It's on Belmont near Stage 773. Mm-hmm. What is the cross street? Is
Racine.
It Belmont and Racine. So it's over by there. A lot of great restaurants. So mm-hmm, you can sure. go and, oh my, our friends, our fish market.
Falstrom's.
Falstrom's, mm-hmm. one of the best fish markets in the city, mm-hmm. if not in the, I'm not saying the country, but that's just me because I really like them. They're fans of the show. But they've been in studio as well, and I think we're having them on soon. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe we'll coordinate okay. Stage 773 in Falstrom's Fish Market. That's right across the street, down a little, over right there. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by comedian James Vickery, who is performing at Zany's in Rosemont tonight through Saturday. Tonight meaning Thursday.
Yep.
So we've got a show at 8 o'clock. Are you going to be able to make it? Are you going to have enough sleep?
I think
time
so.
To get some rest?
We're going out all night, right?
We're going all night. We're all going out all night. We're going to find some place to eat. I'm this kind of weather makes me sleepy. Brian Quijada. Oh God, now I've lost my ability to say your name.
No, you got it.
See what happens when I sit
it.
Down? I can't.
No, you
Brian Quijada. It's because your first name is Brian.
It's because it's
off.
Brian. It's which is an Irish name.
Yeah, Brian Quijada.
Yeah, there you go.
Change gears. He is performing his show, Where Did We Sit on the Bus? He's written it. He's starring in it. It is directed by, tell me again the name of
Che Yu. He's the artistic director of Victory Gardens.
Oh.
He's been everywhere. He's got a Wikipedia page that is the size of, almost all, how many books are in the Bible? 66?
Anyone? Esmeralda?
I grew up Catholic. I didn't pay attention.
Nope.
Yeah, me
nope.
too, man. Yeah, no. Me too.
Craig, how many books in the Bible? No, not either.
Yeah, I'm not really. Totally
I don't know.
Sure.
He's got a big Wikipedia page.
Big Wikipedia yeah. page. He's great. He's a genius. He's a very, very, very talented man.
See, I'm jealous that you get to work with a director. Can you imagine if we worked with directors?
Oh.
How much more annoying we'd be right. as comics? Because we'd have someone like telling us like to get play. We are as it is. We're sort of unruly by nature.
That's sort of what I like about.
We don't take directions well.
Exactly.
No? We don't have appreciation for authority figures.
What I love about stand up is you don't have to run it by anyone. No one's yeah.
Love.
Yeah, but it's kind of yeah. But like, do you? I mean, and this is just out of curiosity. Do you ever feel like there you'd like an outside eye to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe some inflection right there.
Well, we do it to each other, and that can be really... It can be great. It can be annoying.
But you guys are naturals. That's the thing. Is that
no,
like, you know...
Oh,
you know,
need direction.
It's like Mozart.
But James is just like, yeah, I am a natural.
I just remembered, too. It is 66 books in the Bible. You said 39
I was
the
right.
Testament.
I was right. I said 66.
27 in the New Testament just came to my brain.
Wow.
We probably
wow.
need a break, Betty.
Oh, wow. We're after this on 720 WGN. Good counting, Craig. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You know what I realized today, Craig? I listen to WGN a lot, but I seem to listen to Bill and Wendy when I'm in the shower. I don't know if that affects their show at all to know that I'm bathing while they're talking.
We can pass that on to them.
Yeah, we'll pass that along.
Do you have a radio shower? One of those?
I have a suction speaker.
Oh.
My, that connects to my, it's a Bluetooth speaker.
Got it. When you listen to Bill and Wendy, are you tempted to sing or talk along?
I scream.
Okay.
Sometimes I was screaming at their guest today, actually. Not at their guest, but
about their guest.
Yes. There was one question that Bill asked, and I was like, what? And I went like that. And then there was something that she said that made me go, well, just buy your own pants. So those were two things. I screamed in the shower. Steve came running asking what was wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you do that all the time?
Yell at the radio?
Yeah. Right. Well, in the shower.
In the shower?
This is going to be like the boy who cried wolf.
Right. No one's going to come anymore if I keep screaming in the shower.
So do you want to play some of that audio? Do you want to? Okay. I have.
It's a patty.
Here we go. Here's the audio from that conversation.
Thank you.
I read a piece yesterday on a website called The Establishment. Actually, it was reprinted on Huffington Post, but it originated at The Establishment. I want to read just a little bit of it to you, just a paragraph or two. Sometimes you have to face hard truths by stating the painful facts baldly. I am 33. I have never been kissed. The only guy who ever wanted to hold hands with me was killing time while he tried to find somebody hot enough to date. I know this because that's what he told my housemate when he hit on her. To the best of my knowledge, no one has seen me in person. No one who has seen me in person has ever been attracted to me. I'm not catcalled or harassed. The only relationships I've ever had online. The only boyfriend who met me offline would not do more than give me a hug. I have met potential partners from the internet only to watch the interest in their eyes die when they see me. I often feel like the only woman on the face of the planet who no one is attracted to.
That is not true, Joy Weaver.
Well, see, that's the problem. Everyone likes to tell me that it's not true, but I'd like to think that I'm the expert on my own life.
I'm curious as to why you wrote this. Obviously, you're feeling bad about it, but I've seen your picture. You're a lovely girl. You're a sci-fi fan. You'd like to go to Mars someday. I mean, I just don't understand. Do you make yourself approachable when you meet these people? Are you standoffish? What, I mean, I don't understand.
Well, you know, I've never had any real trouble in social settings. I mean, not since I was an awkward teenager.
Right.
I don't really have any trouble making friends. This seems to be the way that life has happened. And the interesting thing is, part of the reason that I wrote this was because I knew it couldn't be just me. I couldn't be the only one. And in the few days since this piece had come out, I have been bombarded by stories from other people saying, yes, I could have written this. This is my story, too. I just never told anyone because, you know, because I was afraid or because I was ashamed or I was afraid how people would respond to me. So I know it's not a unique story. It's just not one that we hear very often.
Joy, I was so moved when I read this yesterday, and I thought to myself, I'm not in the business of feeling sorry for people, and I don't think you wrote this for people to feel sorry for you. I hope that you wrote this to wake people up. It sure woke me up, as if to say, we're walking on a planet where people like yourself are feeling unloved, and it shouldn't be that way.
I love that sentiment that Bill just shared there, and I think that it was important that she wrote this piece. Brian, don't you think that part of it, and James, is that, and Craig and Esmeralda and our listeners, I think we move farther and farther away from each other the more we're sort of locked into our technology. I don't think that she's the only one. I think that there are people who become, you know, sort of, they fall, not, and I wouldn't say, just a pattern, right, of relationships.
Right.
That don't quite go where they would hope or they would want, you know? And it's sort of the tone, I think, when we talk to people who have perhaps not had the, you know, relationships, whether it's never been kissed or never had sex, we're always kind of like, really? You know, mm-hmm. Because we can't imagine it. But this is one of those instances where you sit back and go, she's telling us her truth.
Right. And it's it could just be how circumstances have worked out up until right. this point, right?
It's also could be like it's also that touching on the point of that we live in such a digital age where things are so built up via text,
yes.
and via non-tangible physical online forums and sources that we actually have no real concept of the actual, you know, it's like a very...
Which, and she even says that a lot of her relationships are online. She has a lot of, mm-hmm. And she'll meet them in person and they just don't connect. And, you know, and we could, hopefully we'll have her on too, but she's got this great article. It is in Huffington Post. I'm 33 and have never been kissed. And one of the things that she talks about is that she's tired of, when they turn virginity into a punchline, like when, you know, 40-year-old virgin. And she's always afraid that sex will come up in a conversation. Like, she always doesn't want to reveal that she doesn't have any experience when it comes to that. So it was a very sweet conversation. It's a wonderful article. But I think that her goal of wanting to make other people feel like they're not the only ones, I think, is kind of remarkable.
That is.
It's sort of, it's a little bit brave. Yes, Craig, were you going to...
No, absolutely. You're exactly what I felt like after I heard about this conversation that you guys talked about in our prep meeting. Then I listened to the audio. Then I read it. So the last thing I did was actually read her article. And it's amazing when people who are suffering, which I think in some way maybe she is, aren't actually saying something online for themselves. They're saying it for everyone else. So the fact that the only impact she wanted to make was for other people to let them know, as a radio show does, let them know that they're not alone, is a pretty beautiful sentiment for someone like this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's reaching out and, you know, we're not alone.
And the immediate reaction is that people will look up her picture and go, oh, she's not bad. Or like, oh, you're pretty, you know, and it's weird because, you know, that's not her intent. She's not seeking that out. So I don't know. It's an experience. It's a storytelling from a point of view that many of us have no experience with. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm also looking at this picture of David Letterman, which is part of the,
I saw that Huffington, today
on her Huffington Post piece.
It's like slightly jarring.
Like right next to, have you seen the picture?
Yeah. He does not look
6 months into retirement.
Yeah.
Whoa. He's
rocking the bald bearded look.
So first read the piece in Huffington Post, 33 and never been kissed. It's a very sweet piece. And for those of you who are just, you know, again, it's a slice of life that maybe you're not familiar with, but it's also maybe something that rings true for other people, whether or not you've been kissed or never had sex or seem to have a hard time finding a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not that uncommon.
No, and it's funny how often the internet is used to say disparaging things, and we vilify kind of the mass communication ability of the internet because so often it turns negative. But this really is a wonderful use of that tool in our society. To connect people together through this story is kind of a way to say, hey, look, this is the internet doing something nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's lovely, and Joy seems lovely. So I really do hope we have her on the show.
As long as you avoid comments under any internet article.
Absolutely.
Block the comments at all time, understand what a fan page is.
And then somebody asked her if she had thought of a sex surrogate, and that was one of the moments where I was like, what?
What?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I guess to at least have an experience. But I think
sex surrogate, is that a...
Like having sex with somebody for, you know, kind of getting across that threshold of if you've never had sex. But I think that she's looking for a relationship.
Right. Yeah, connection.
Emotional...
You want someone to...
Absolutely.
It's about someone wanting to kiss her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Having that desire, having that fire for you. Do you remember the first time you kissed... Kristen? The first time you kissed Kristen?
First time I kissed... She
Your
was
wife.
Not my first kiss.
I know.
Oh, okay. That's...
Do you remember the first time you kissed that one girl before? Yeah.
Do you remember your first kiss?
I do remember my first kiss.
Oh, I feel like we're gonna play like Hollywood, the honeymoon game, the newlywed game.
We'll tell you. Was like,
let's see if her answer matches yours.
So wait, am I talking first or first with Kristen?
The first kiss with Kristen.
Okay. It was in a car after about our third date, and things had just sort of built. Why,
you
is that
waited
quick?
On third date? No, that's sweet. You waited till the
second
third
or third date? Yeah. What do I look like?
Lock it down.
Second hours later.
Dessert. Mwah.
It was a good, passionate one.
Okay.
In the car as sweet. I was dropping her off.
Mm.
Yep.
All right then.
What about your first kiss? I'm interested in your first kiss.
Yeah, I don't. That's hard.
First kiss. I was like 13 or 14, and this girl Michelle that had a crush on me. Oh. We were driving around with our friends. We had one friend who drove, and we were in the back seat, and we were just kind of hanging out. I thought she might like me, but they dropped me off at the house, and as I'm getting out, She just kissed me, and it was like,
oh, wow,
mind blowing. It was so unexpected.
Are we talking about first one. Our first kiss or our first willing kiss? Because they're different things.
Yeah, they're spin the bottle and truth or dare.
Well, I got married when I was 4, and that was just terrible.
You're still paying the alimony on that.
I mean, Jamie is still hitting me up for that stuff, so that's really it's rough.
Mine was a forced. Was that a forced kiss that we're talking about? Was it?
Yeah. My sister's married Jamie, who was the girl next door to us. I don't even know her last name, and we're married, so that's kind of bad. But yeah. They married us, and then they forced us to kiss. And that.
Oh,
does your current wife know about this?
Yeah, no, I've never told her about that first marriage.
There's
no
be issues.
I know this is rough. One sister really went all out. She dressed as a priest and stuff. It was very thorough.
Oh wow! Yeah. Oh out! Oh out!
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't remember my – I mean, I know that it was a spin-the-bottle situation. Do you remember your first kiss?
Yeah, it was to Sean Paul's Get Busy.
Wow.
Like a little house party. It was like a you know, it was eighth grade. Eighth grade.
Getting
like
crazy in Highland Park.
Somebody give it to our girls. It was the soundtrack to my first kiss.
Esmeralda is rendered speechless.
That's a cool way to do it.
Wow. Esmeralda, do you feel like you can top that? Do you remember your first kiss?
No, mine was pretty, not lame, but just meh. It was my first boyfriend in high school. And it was pretty innocuous.
Got it.
And that's why I don't see him anymore.
And you guys kissed during...
Yeah. Yep, that was my soundtrack to my life.
This was it. Oh, this is bringing me fond memories.
Nothing innocuous is happening to this song.
It was that song. I owe a lot to Sean Paul. I owe a lot to Sean Paul.
Wow, congratulations to you.
Don't remember yours?
I'm the only one that doesn't remember their first kiss. It was too soon. I was probably 9. I was in, let's call her Gina Tomasello, because that was her not to know who I kissed, but she had a party at her place, and she was a little bit older than I was, and her sister was even older. So we were playing like Spin the Bottle or 7 Minutes in Heaven or something stupid. And I don't remember the name of the boy that did not want to be there. Just felt like I was kind of hurt. I was sort of, it was peer pressure. So, my first romantic kiss.
Yeah.
Probably be, let's call him Phil, because that was his name. Moreau. That was also his
name.
Okay,
good.
I think that was my first romantic kiss.
How was Phil?
Phil was fine. And then poor Phil tried going up my shirt, and then we were done.
Oh, that's
Phil.
Rookie move.
Phil.
Rookie mistake.
Phil.
No, that's not.
That was
day one.
Yeah, I mean, like after that, I do remember all the first kisses with all the boys I was around. I told you about the one with what's his name, Jason, because that's his name.
Yep.
He pulled back and he goes, "What'd you have for lunch?" More for this on 720 W. All right, James Vickery. Before we all go, I think that we should wake up your wife.
All
Does
right,
that mean?
Let's see. No. Well, she's on the West Coast, so it's not
Too bad.
Late.
So she might even still be awake,
yeah,
as a matter of fact.
There's a chance. Mm-hmm.
Brian Quijada, when we have a chance, we're going to call and wake you up at some point. When you don't have to get up early. Mm.
And he's usually on the East Coast, so it'll be even later.
That's true.
Maybe he does have to get up. Let us know when you need a wake-up call.
All right.
Are we on the line? Do we have... is she on there? Is it ringing?
No, it should be ringing or something. Oh. I don't know why there's always a delay like this, but I hit the dial button.
Yeah, there's something wrong with her. With
it's going...
Yeah,
it's because she's on West Coast time.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's a delay in her ring. Let me see. Did I give you enough numbers?
I think so.
I don't want to say them out
loud.
The
right amount of numbers.
The phone is tanning.
Do you see the numbers on the screen there?
The phone is like all on and stuff. Yes. I think. Yeah, we're all good.
It says 25. It's into it.
It's into it. Oh
yeah.
I don't know. Can she hear us? Scream, Kristen, if you can hear us. We can't hear you.
You want to try to call her again?
Let's try to call her again. Yes. This is good radio.
Now we're just harassing her.
Yeah, we are. we call people, and if we get their voicemails, if we talk to them as well, we fill them in on what we talked about during the show.
She loved the voicemail last time.
Little show wrap up. Oh, I forgot to text John Tatey. He was worried that he sounded bad last night, but I thought he sounded fine. He's a new daddy, so
good for him.
He was kind of staying awake anyway. So we
boy or girl?
He has a boy named Leo.
What?
It's a lovely name, I think.
That's lovely.
Here we go.
Here it is.
Day it is. Oh, we're getting an echo.
I hope that goes.
Echo.
That's not going to be fun.
Echo.
This sounds cool.
Hello? Kristen McAllister, why are you? Did you know we were calling you? Were you waiting for us to call? Were you hoping we would call you?
No, I was getting ready. I'm getting ready for bed, but I had my phone on in case you guys did.
Hi, Kristen. For people who don't know Kristen, she's James Vickery's wife. That's not really her title
in
life.
It's not your best accomplishment.
If you've been following the series Love on Netflix, which you can go to your Netflix account and just pull it up now and look for Kristen McAllister. She's in that series, and she's recently shot an episode of... Tell us, Kristen. Can you tell us what you shot an episode of?
Yeah, I shot an episode of... I think I can tell you.
Oh. Well,
All right, I saw an episode of a TV show.
Amazing!
Amazing!
What? On television?
That's so cool. It's on the Fox Network. I think we can go with that. Then there you go.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Kristen. Oh, by the way, I want to introduce you to Brian Quijada.
Hello, Kristen.
He's a star of the one-man show that he has written and is performing in. Where did we sit on the bus at Storefront Theater, 66 East Randolph? That's for you, Kristen. I want to make sure that you show up before April.
It sounds great, by the way, Kristen.
Yeah.
Go to teatro.
Very cool. That's a great space, too.
Oh, great space.
It is.
Yeah.
I've heard great things about it. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut off Craig and Esmeralda from saying hello to Kristen as well.
Hi, I'm Craig.
Hi.
Now, I have a question for you. James was telling us before the break, we were talking about first kisses. Will your answer match up with James about where your first kiss was and when?
Oh, gosh. Probably not. I don't know.
Like, well, how many dates in would you say was your first kiss with James?
I mean, I think it was. Is this our first date? I don't remember.
You guys first date.
No. Oh, wow. James.
I was hours in. It was at dessert.
Wow. See? Brian called it.
I said, like, third date.
I got to be honest.
Or maybe
first
it was, like,
date,
second.
Your first date must
no,
have been
it wasn't,
terrible.
You're right. It wasn't our first date. Maybe it was...
After second or third?
After a White Sox game?
It was after a White Sox game.
Oh, she's got more details than
where,
you.
Where? Where was it?
Yeah, what happened?
Where were you located?
Explain all of it.
Yes.
Like in his car?
Yeah!
Oh, good. Okay, that's the same one.
James is very excited with his answers.
You guys both don't suffer from amnesia.
You got the right person. Yay.
Oh, okay.
They were surprised. Patty expressed disbelief that...
it was the third date.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
Oh, we were very chaste.
I know.
That's what I think of when I think of James and Kristen.
I was courting.
Those chaste. Those two chaste, wonderful little fellas and girls. I don't know what I'm saying. By the way, Kristen, last week, I was just listening to my show from last week because my husband listens to the podcast, and James was saying that he's never traveled with anybody like me who will have dessert for every meal.
Right.
So I want to take you to Columbus, Indiana as well to go to I can't say it.
No help.
Nope, nobody can help me. There was a listener who texted it into me, but we've all got to go there and have our cinnamon shakes. Kristen, they have cinnamon shakes. How do you not have more than one of those and just repeatedly go back?
I know.
I don't know.
That's it.
It's
a cinnamon. It's what is it?
Cinnamon shake. I don't know. Everything else is good.
Oh wow!
Great little soda. Old fashioned soda fountain place with ice cream and stuff.
Where is it?
In Columbus, Indiana.
Great!
Cool little town. But we went there, and then the next day, on our way out of town, it's like lunchtime. And Patty's like, let's go back and get ice cream. I can't. This is we 8 years old.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense.
That total sense.
That sounds delicious.
So let me. I want to catch you up on everything that's going on the show tonight. We talked to Brian. We learned a lot about him. He grew up in Highland Park and has written the show. It was born of a question he had during a civil rights class when he was in third grade. After a recess, his teacher wanted to lay on the history lesson, and he wanted to know, well, if Rosa Parks was in the back of the bus and Martin Luther King had these marches, where did we sit on the bus, meaning Latinos?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, what? What'd she say to you, Brian?
She's like, what? What? I don't... she's like, oh, Latinos weren't around.
Oh, God.
So
and then she kept going on with her lesson. She didn't even, like... She just ignored me.
Yeah. And that's where you were on the bus.
And that's where I sat. Nowhere. Just,
nowhere.
We just, didn't, weren't around. We just didn't exist.
We're not on the bus. And then the we had the general manager and Pony, the bartender. Cindy Nelson was here from Zany's to catch us up on the shows because James is performing at Zany's this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we also had the Cupid Players on tonight singing their lullaby. They had one song called Deal Breaker. Did you ever have a deal breaker when it came to dating? Like, was there one thing that if somebody, a guy, like for me, it was... snoring, and then I found out my husband snored after we got married. But
yeah, that's not something you really have control over.
No, didn't have control. He's so lucky to wake up alive. But
I almost had a deal breaker. Can I tell you this?
Yes.
Kristen revealed to me after dating for a bit, even though she had talked about it with her friends, I didn't realize my entire life I had said birthday.
Birthday?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Instead of birthday. It was almost a deal breaker. But
how do you say booth?
I think I'm good on most words, but
no one ever corrected you.
No one ever corrected me.
They didn't hear it. Kristen heard it.
If you had said happy birthday to me, I would have just thought about it endearing.
I wish I needed you.
He would have thought you were being ironic.
Like, oh, what a charming guy.
I can pronounce this correctly, but I'm not going to.
Right.
Yes, Craig.
No, I'm just, that's surreal. Was there ever an awkward moment where you said birthday?
Never.
And somebody just looked at you strange? And
Kristen's Kristen. The first person.
Wow.
Once I brought it up, his friends were like, you do say it. Like, nobody had mentioned it. They were waiting for me to come along
like,
to mention it.
Why didn't anyone tell me this?
How difficult?
Till when?
I was probably 26 years old.
How difficult was it for Kristen to decide to tell him? Like, how did you debate that?
Oh, it was a big deal. She's like, hey, I have to talk to you about something. This is like after dating for a few weeks. I was like, oh my God, what's coming?
Yeah, I was like really nervous about it, but I had to bring it up.
She's like, you say birthday. No, I don't.
Oh, man. Oh, Kristen, how can people follow you on Twitter, by the way, to find out what you're up to?
They can go to @TheKristenMick.
@TheKristenMick. And I'm going to see you. I'll be out there in a few weeks.